Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast.
4:03, we welcome you in a Monday edition of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented by the good folks at Randy's Flooring. You can find them at their two corridor locations. They have one here in Cedar Rapids, also located in Coralville on the Coralville Strip. Randy's has been Eastern Iowa's flooring leader for over 40 years. Stop in and find out why for yourself. We've got a great program for you today. Jerry Brewer of the Washington Post will be with us in the 5 o'clock hour. Lots of NBA moves to discuss with the opening of free agency. And Sam McCowan of the Omaha World-Herald set to be with us at about 5:25 this evening as the countdown to kickoff continues. You guys got that underway on Friday?
Correct.
First team up was?
The Michigan Wolverines.
Oh, I missed Jim Harbaugh. How about that? What a shame. I was kind of hoping it was going to be Rutgers or somebody else in my absence.
Maryland.
Maryland would have been a fine choice, but you guys put a rather healthy ribeye on the grill, and that's exactly what I would have done had I been here. So we will get the update on year number two for Scott Frost and the Huskers as the countdown to kickoff continues. Stop number two. One Big Ten team a day leading us up to Big Ten Media Days later this month in Chicago, now that we've officially turned the calendar to July. Allow me to be cheesy, hyper-local, Midwestern radio guy, and it feels like it because it's hot.
I'm loving it. I love this weather.
Get the heck out of here.
It's gorgeous. You go outside, you get a nice lathering of sweat. There's nothing like it. You enjoy a cold beer on the back porch and you sweat it out.
This is a worse take than your take about books being better than, or movies being better than the books.
No, I just think about the alternative and negative 20 and the winters that we go through here, and I will take this any day of the week.
I can deal with cold. I can't deal with hot. When you're cold, you just put another layer of clothing on. When it's hot out, especially when you have a body type like mine, there's only so much clothing that you can peel off before, for the sake of human decency, you decide to just stay inside or gut it out. T-shirt and shorts, that's about it. You won't see me go. I'm not one of these guys who runs around without a shirt when it's hot on. As much as I would like to, again, human decency permits me from doing so. 319-366-1600 is the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. We were going to start off the show by talking about all-star complaints today. This is one of my favorite days of the broadcast season, especially in the middle months of the off-season, because everybody loves complaining about all-star snubs. But I feel like I've been punched in the gut here with this Tyler Skaggs news. For those of you who just are joining the program, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim have announced that one of their starting pitchers, Tyler Skaggs, who pitched here in Cedar Rapids several years ago and pitched Saturday night against Oakland, died this morning in Texas. He's 27 years old. No details available at this point in time. And this is one of those things where I didn't know Tyler Skaggs personally when he was here in Cedar Rapids, but I was around that team quite a bit, and I will never forget his time here in Cedar Rapids. First off, that was a really talented team that he was a member of. You had Mike Trout, you had Gene Segura. Skaggs was in the rotation along with Patrick Corbin, who's now with the Washington Nationals. Randall Grichuk was on that team. It's probably top to bottom one of the best minor league teams I've ever been around in my life as far as guys that have gone on to the majors and had substantive careers. And at that point in time, they still had not changed the rule about being able to trade players that were drafted. You had to wait an entire year before you could trade a player that you had drafted the previous year. and the Angels traded Tyler Skaggs and Patrick Corbin in a deal to the Arizona Diamondbacks. And Skaggs, having been drafted the previous year, Major League Baseball wouldn't sign off on him being traded, so they had to shut him down. And he stayed in Cedar Rapids for about 3 weeks, and I remember oftentimes seeing him at Veterans Memorial Stadium or at road games just wandering around in a T-shirt and shorts down on the field. He wasn't allowed to work out. He wasn't allowed to throw because the trade had already been executed and he was a part of it. And if anything had happened to him as far as an injury goes, then it would have blown the whole thing up. And so I will always have that memory of Tyler Skaggs sort of meandering around the ballpark in his Angels shorts, even though everybody in the world knew that he was no longer a member of the Angels organization. And if I recall correctly, I can't remember whether they had to put him on the inactive list or whether he was still taking up a 25-man roster spot at the time, and they couldn't do anything about it because he was healthy. They couldn't put him on the disabled list, and they couldn't just make him inactive. But that's a gut punch, and that's an organization, the Angels, that you go back even 30, 40 years, has had its fair share of really sad, sad news. And I'm thinking a lot about Nick Adenhart today, who was a good friend of mine and whom I did know really well. But that organization has had some other instances in the past of players that have met untimely fates or unfortunate fates. So 319-366-1600. Nothing like starting the show off feeling like you just absolutely got punched in the gut. But that's sort of where I'm at today with this Tyler Skaggs news. I have very fond memories of him from his time here in Cedar Rapids, and a very good pitcher. And by all accounts, talked to a lot of people that knew him when he was here, a really well-liked guy. So unfortunate news, and as details emerge on his passing, certainly we'll pass those along if they come out today. I doubt they will. The Angels were scheduled to play the Texas Rangers tonight in Arlington. That game has been postponed, and I'm sure, Alex, you sitting there as a Cardinals fan, you know where I'm going with this. This probably reminds you of the day that the Cubs and Cardinals were supposed to play at Wrigley Field, and Joe Girardi had to announce to a sold-out Wrigley Field that they would not play the game that day because Daryl Kyle had passed away.
It definitely does. There have been a couple of times. You mentioned Nick Adenhart. You mentioned Daryl Kyle. Josh Hancock of the St. Louis Cardinals, where this happens in season, and it's sort of a surreal moment. You just you don't know what to do if you're a member of the team. You don't know how to react. I just remember the Cardinals that entire year were constantly, it was sort of the feeling of, okay, well, we have to go out and play for him, but we don't want to go out and play. So heart is with we're thinking about the Angels organization. Just devastating news to hear somebody so young lose their life. And like you said, we'll find out, I'm sure, pretty soon as to why it happened, but just devastating news. 27 years old.
Daryl Kyle, and I'm sure there are a lot of listeners out there who don't remember Daryl Kyle. Daryl Kyle was a very good pitcher for the Houston Astros, and then at the end of his career, the St. Louis Cardinals, and that was an unfortunate news. I believe he had a heart issue.
He had a heart attack.
A heart attack, and they found him at his hotel room in Chicago.
Yep, the Westin in Chicago.
That's not where Big Ten Media Day is, right?
No, it's not.
At the Hilton? Okay.
The Cardinals refused to stay there after that. It just is not because anything against the hotel, but obviously, for obvious reasons, they don't stay there anymore.
Yeah, I would think you've got some bad juju behind that particular property if you're that organization. 319-366-1600, the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can use it to reach out to us again here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Short work week for all of us, as we will be off on Thursday for the 4th of July festivities. You can certainly look for us. I believe Alex will be at the 4th Fest Parade in Coralville.
I'll be at the Coralville Parade.
So all of our South Gym listeners, 106.3 FM, you can wave to Alex as he's driving the KGYM pickup truck in the parade, fireworks, all of that good stuff set for this weekend. I do want everybody to know that we are on Friday, the 5th. We're not off that day, and I know many of you have to work as well. So if you have to work, it's only fair that we have to work, or is that the other way around? But we will be there for all of you folks who do not get a four-day 4th of July weekend. I saw they were discussing this in Des Moines earlier today on the radio as to what you would rather have off. Would you rather have the 4th off and work on the 5th? Or would you rather work on the 4th, and then you've got the night of the 4th and the 5th off?
Oh, that's an easy decision.
Roll into the weekend.
The second one, easily.
I would do a show on the 4th of July, hands down.
Absolutely.
And then I'm rolling into the three-day weekend. But that's not an option.
We can't do that.
319, well, it would affect greatly the countdown to kickoff. I felt bad about having to leave on Friday. For those of you who've listened to the program, you know that I've run into a particularly rough stretch of luck here in my family life with losing relatives. And so I had a celebration of life. People don't do funerals anymore. Have you noticed this? That a lot of it has to do with, you don't want to call it a funeral. Funerals are sad. Everybody, it's celebration of life. So I was at a celebration of life for my aunt in Stevens Point, Wisconsin on Friday. So before I left, I did not triple check. We're sure that the math lines up on this.
Yep,
we're going to line up, and the countdown to kickoff is going to end in Chicago at Big Ten Media Day.
13 shows between Friday and the Thursday we show up in Chicago. And I took into account the 4th of July where we are not on. So I have double and triple checked, and I think we're good to go. And I know we're good to go, I should say. I'm confident.
Who's got questions about Nebraska football today? You can share them with us on the text line, 319-366-1600. And then when Sam McEwen joins us, Sam McEwen joins us at 5:30 tonight. Perhaps we'll pass those Huskers-related questions along to him. 319-366-1600 as we are here until 7 o'clock tonight, 1600 a.m. Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio, as well as 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and online at KGYMradio.com, where we ask you today, our poll question is, who should start the All-Star game for the American League? Give you several options, including Lucas Giolito of the Chicago White Sox as an homage to Scott Unash, our sports director, Justin Verlander, Gerrit Cole, Mike Minor is said to be probably the leader in the clubhouse in the minds of Alex Cora, who will be making the selection. National League has already announced that it's going with Hyun-Jin Ryu of the Los Angeles Dodgers. And I came across this today. It took me by surprise, but the Dodgers have a long history of players, pitchers, that is, starting the All-Star game for the National League, and none of them are named Clayton Kershaw.
Never started an All-Star game.
Unless the internet was wrong, and the internet is never wrong.
You can't put anything on the internet that isn't correct.
Clayton Kershaw, to my knowledge, has not started an All-Star game. It's kind of...
Now that I think about it, that makes sense, but at the same time, I would have expected that he would have started an All-Star game by this point. I know Zach Greinke has started an All-Star game, but Clayton Kershaw has never started an All-Star game.
Again, I'm going by something that I read on the internet, and that's not always the safest approach to things in this day and age. But there's a lot of stuff I think that's probably fairly easily verifiable. And if you think Clayton Kershaw, I guess probably it just has never lined up where he's been available to start or he's pitched in All-Star games. He just hasn't started them. We will get to, in the miracle of the modern technology where the text line can bring you anything at any point in time, we do have NBA fans who are wondering when we're going to talk about NBA free agency. It's a three-hour show. And so if you're with us for 10 minutes, maybe you're not hearing what you want to hear, but over the course of the 3 hours, it's going to be discussed. As a matter of fact, we're going to get to NBA free agency coming up in about, I'll say, less than 10 minutes to hopefully keep you listening to us on whatever frequency it is. Kawhi Leonard is still out there. And other than that, most of the dominoes have fallen, and the big loser seems to be the New York Knicks. If you've listened to the Stephen A. Smith show.
What a joke that franchise is.
I don't want to do fridge. It's the next segment. I don't want to get to that, but we've gotten discombobulated here with the Tyler Skaggs stuff right off the top of the program. There's a lot of other news to get to today. Kyle is going to have a big board update in just a few minutes, brought to you by our friends at Alexander Lumber. You got a former Cyclone who's landed a 3-year NBA deal. Megan Gustafson's got a new overseas deal. She's going to be playing in Budapest, Hungary. Lots of news to get to today. And the Colonels had a noon game at Veterans Memorial Stadium today. I had an opportunity to get over there for just a little bit at the start of the game. And then I just didn't want to be there anymore. So I left. I am, for those of you who've listened to the program, I want to be very upfront and honest about this, because I've never been through this before, so I don't know what the proper timeline here on this is. But I'm still, and you may listen sometimes and you may not even realize it, but I'm having a real hard time with the passing of my father, and I have not gotten over it yet. And so it's kind of like, and I found this out today, and I was drawing the similarities in my mind. You know, when it's January, like January 5th or January 6th, and you're at the checkout line, say at the grocery store or somewhere, maybe you go out to dinner and the waiter or the waitress says Happy New Year to you. And in the back of your mind, like, that was 4 or 5 days ago. Is it really New Year's anymore? And I got people that I haven't seen in the last week and a half, 2 weeks. And what's the first thing that they say when they come up to you? Well, I'm really sorry about your dad. And it's just like, okay, it's not New Year's anymore. Let's move on. Groundhog Day's up on the calendar, right? So I'm struggling. I really am. But I do appreciate, I got a very nice note the other day from somebody who works with my wife who listens to the program, and he lost his father recently. And I was unaware of that. And I said to my wife, oh, this is a really nice note. It's very deeply personal. And she said, well, he lost his father recently. So there you go. We'll get to NBA free agency, but I want everybody to know that I'm not in a good place right now, and I'm still struggling. And I'm sure, look, people struggle with stuff every day. And, you know, you'll have various other people that say, hey, that's okay, man. You'll get over it, or everybody handles things differently. And then you'll have people that say, put your big boy pants on or whatever. And I don't necessarily think that that's a healthy approach to life, where you tell people to just sort of forget about things and move on. But
I hope no one is saying
to each their own. They're not saying it, but I know they're thinking it, which is the really difficult part there. So here I am being vulnerable again on the air. And I don't know. I wanted to feel normal today. So I snuck over to the ballpark for a little bit, came in, set some things up here at work, tried to lay out the show. I'll go over to the ballpark. Ballpark's always been normal. Ballpark has been normal to me for almost 30 years. Just not normal. 422. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, what does the card say here? It says NBA free agency. The New York Knicks are the big losers. And the big winners, not too far away from the New York The Nets, where do they play now? Brooklyn?
They're in Brooklyn.
They're in Brooklyn?
The Barclays Center.
This is not sitting well with Stephen A. Smith. Back with more after this.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
For every step of achievement,
Christopher Michael Jones.
For every joy-filled laugh, for every dream becoming reality.
Welcome to retirement, honey.
For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust is here. We'll come alongside you for all life's milestones. Because, after all, you're our neighbor. We're more than just a financial institution, and we take our relationship with you seriously. That's why Two Rivers Bank is working on new products and services now that will make your life easier in the future. So, whether you're planning for college, starting a family, or recent empty nesters, Two Rivers Bank will be thinking about your needs before you even know you have them. For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust.
My neighborhood,
my bank.
Find out more at tworiversbank.com.
He's gonna be the best day alive.
Member FDIC.
The perfect soundtrack for your active, smart rockin' summer with Smart FM. Playing badminton or croquet in the backyard with the kids. Enjoying the lightning bugs in the evening air. Whipping up that potato salad for the family get-together. Organizing that garage sale. That first date. Whatever this hectic summer brings your way, you can count on Smart FM to provide the perfect soundtrack. Smart FM, 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
The John Deere Classic is more than golf. It's a week filled with friends, food, fun, a youth clinic, and an amazing charity concert with Dustin Lynch. It's the event that's delivered over $100 million to local charities since 1971. And yes, there's great golf, too. Pretty. Sweet.
Oh, I like that.
Stuff.
Yes.
Magic does happen here. Get tickets at JohnDeereClassic.com or call 309-762-GOLF. Hurry, they're going fast.
Star Equipment now sells, rents, and repairs heavy-duty forestry equipment. Now carrying durable mulching heads, disc mulchers, and other skid steer attachments by Fecon, Diamond, and Bradco. That means your next tough job just became a whole lot easier. Rent or buy your forestry equipment now at Star Equipment. And while you're there, ask about current government grants for mulching equipment. Star Equipment, Iowa born in 1968. StarEquip.com.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
It's a Major League Baseball 4th of July doubleheader. First the Pirates face the Cubs, then the Braves face the Phillies.
Thursday afternoon starting at 2:30 here on the gym, KGYM.
Welcome back in, 426, the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, the South and North gyms respectively, and online at KGYMradio.com, where you can go to find our upcoming schedule of broadcast events, including plenty of baseball for you on this 4th of July as we get ready to step aside on Thursday. The latest updates from Texas. This sounds extremely like the Daryl Kyle situation. Nobody could get a hold of Tyler Skaggs, and they had to go to his hotel room to check on him, and they found him at about 2:18 this afternoon in presumably near Arlington, Texas. I don't know where the team is staying at when they play the Rangers, but found him unresponsive. They do not believe foul play was involved, and I guess you wait and see what the medical exam says from the coroner. But a sad day today for Major League Baseball and for the Cedar Rapids Colonels, too. As Tyler Skaggs pitched here in 2010 and was I saw a photo during the break posted by a good friend of mine, Al, and I had completely forgotten that Tyler Skaggs was one of a couple Colonels players who went and visited a young woman who was having some pretty serious medical issues in 2010. And these two guys stopped by and checked in on her and tried to pick her spirits up. And it was Tyler Skaggs and Mike Trout. And I'd completely forgotten about that as far as you're around somebody and you seem to recall that they're a good person. And Tyler Skaggs certainly fit that mold. And it sounds strange talking in the past tense about him now as well. He's 27 and had many, many years ahead of him in life. I understand via social media and the Angels Twitter account that he was married. He's got a wife. It's a very difficult time to be going through. So our thoughts are certainly with the Angels organization. And again, no game in Arlington tonight between the Rangers and the Angels. We'll get to NBA free agency coming up in just a little bit. But first, Kyle is with us in the studio. It's a lot going on a Monday, July 1st. A big board update presented on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn by the good folks at Alexander Lumber, soon to be in a new permanent location. But right now, you can still find them at their temporary location, 2802 Independence Road in Iowa City. Here's Kyle.
A former Cyclone guard got a taste of the free agency frenzy this afternoon as Matt Thomas has agreed to a three-year low-dollar deal with the Toronto Raptors. The 6'5" guard shot 44% in his final two seasons at Iowa State, and in two seasons playing professionally in Spain, averaged 13 points and shot 47% from three. With Thomas now stateside, six Cyclones from the 2015-2016 team are in the pros, and Nick Weiler-Babb could technically make that seven. Iowa State point guard Tyrese Haliburton, current Iowa State point guard, that is. He's playing with the under-19 team in Greece for the FIBA World Cup, and he showed out yesterday in a 102-84 victory over Lithuania. He had game highs across the board with 35 minutes, 21 points, 4 made threes, 8 assists, only 1 turnover, 5 steals, and all that on 8-for-9 from the field. He also had 8 assists to 1 turnover and led the team in made threes in a 40-point win over New Zealand the day prior. The team finishes prelim play tomorrow. Former Hawkeye Megan Gustafson scored 4 points in 10 minutes for the Dallas Wings in a win yesterday, but she also inked a new deal earlier today. Gustafson and her agency announced that following the WNBA season, she'll be playing in Hungary. The Colonels took game one of a home series against Kane County with a 6-0 shutout on Saturday, led by Josh Winder, who's really starting to look like a prospect for the Twins. Coming off a Midwest League All-Star appearance, he put forth his best effort to date, yielding only 3 hits while striking out 8 and walking none over 8. A loss in game two brought about a rubber match earlier this afternoon, and they spent most of it tied at 1 until Chris Williams and Gabe Snyder knocked in 3 in the bottom of the 8th. The team's taken off to Burlington for 2 games before returning home. They'll have a 5 o'clock start hosting Burlington on the 4th.
319-366-1600, the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. Hertine and Stocker, very easy to find on the Ped Mall in downtown Iowa City, 101 South Dubuque Street. And again, that number to reach is 366-1600. So other than Kawhi Leonard right now, as the NBA free agency window is officially here, and we knew some of the destinations, and it's yesterday was, if you were on Twitter and you were following one account and one account only, it would be Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN because the news was flying hot and heavy. You got guys going everywhere. Kevin Durant is going to most likely not play at all this season, but he's going to be suiting up when he does for the Brooklyn Nets. Jimmy Butler's on the move. It's absolutely crazy at this point, and you look back to several weeks ago when there was all of this discussion about what the New York Knicks were going to do during free agency, and they had enough money, they were going to go bring on 2 Supermax contracts, and they were going to pick that franchise up from the doldrums that it's been, and nobody wants to go play for the Knicks.
Nobody.
And not only that, but the team that sort of isn't necessarily homeless, but they've gone from being the New Jersey Nets to the Brooklyn Nets, and they're just sort of there on the periphery, and it's not Madison Square Garden, and it's not, as a couple ESPN hosts have said today, Broadway. This is sort of off-Broadway. The fact that you've got star players who would rather play in Brooklyn than play in Manhattan with the Knicks, if you hopped into a time machine and you went back 25 years ago and you tried to explain this to me 25 years ago, I don't know if I would have believed it.
I mean, it's a kick in the stones for one of the worst organizations in professional sports is what it is.
Nobody wants to play for the Knicks.
Nobody wants to play for the New York Knicks. Think about that. They want to go play for the Brooklyn Nets, who are just about 3 or 4 years removed from a terrible trade that they made with the Boston Celtics to get aging players that ruined their entire franchise. And I know that there are a lot of people who have been making fun of Stephen A. Smith today and his reaction to what happened. But here's the point that he does make that is absolutely true. The Brooklyn Nets have done in 3 years what the Knicks have been trying to do the last 2.5 decades. They built a franchise, a good roster of solid role players, and cleared out cap space to bring in two superstars and another above average player in DeAndre Jordan. The Knicks have been trying to do that unsuccessfully for the last 2.5 decades. You know how bad of an organization the Knicks must be, or how poorly run they must be for Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant to say, no, I'm going to Brooklyn. I really didn't even think about the Knicks. I want to go to Brooklyn. It's a joke at this point. And they spent all this year. This is the problem. If the Knicks wouldn't have kept their mouths shut and didn't try to sell the fact that they were going to go out in free agency and they were going to be a completely different team in 2019 than they were last year, and hint at the fact that they were going to possibly have Zion Williamson, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant on their team. They actively did this. And then they're wondering why their fans are upset when they didn't get these guys, and the reports come out that they had the audacity to say they weren't going to give a max contract to Kevin Durant. I don't care if he has two torn Achilles. You are the New York Knicks. If you have the audacity to say, no, Kevin Durant, we are not giving you a max contract, and try to sell your fans on this continued rebuild, you have no sense of reality. And it is unbelievable to see how this organization continues to sink and sink, and it just doesn't seem like there's rock bottom for them right now.
But wait, there's more. There always is when it comes to the Knicks and rock bottom. They'll get there eventually. And when they do, we'll hear about it from Stephen A. Smith. And before any of you complain about him, remember, most of you took him coast to coast in the car with you, along with O.J. Simpson and LeVar Ball. Most of you gave O.J. and LeVar the boot before you did Stephen A. Smith. So keep that in perspective. The Warriors sort of getting a little bit of a facelift. Andre Iguodala traded to Memphis for along with a first-round pick. And then D'Angelo Russell comes to Golden State via a sign-and-trade.
Isn't it weird? See, in the NBA, they just the Golden State Warriors just traded Andre Iguodala and first-round picks to the Memphis Grizzlies for nothing. Like, literally, there was no compensation whatsoever from the Memphis Grizzlies back to the Golden State Warriors for a guy who has won how many championships with Golden State, has been their number one role player. That's why I was sort of joking with people. There are like five people, there are five writers in the country that have an idea of what's going on right now in the NBA as to how things work and what the language is and sign and trades and some of the language that comes with that and protected picks. And that's why Adrian Wojnarowski is able to make such a living off of what he does, because he took the time to go in and figure out exactly how this stuff works. Cause I feel like a lot of people are just sort of projecting, oh, well, this team has cap space, this team has cap space, but a lot of the people claiming to know about it aren't accurate all the time. So yesterday was sort of a whirlwind, but the New York Knicks We're the clear losers, but the Golden State Warriors, I'm glad you bring them up. D'Angelo Russell doesn't necessarily fit long-term in their plans, especially when Klay Thompson comes back. You wonder if this isn't sort of a one-year, allow him to prove himself and then trade him for assets type deal. That's what Mark Stein of the New York Times is reporting, that he doesn't really fit in there. So that'll be interesting in and of itself to watch.
We in 2019, as sports fans, have become hostages of these leagues, and we have to play along with them and their rules. And I think the NBA and the NHL in particular, when it comes to things like a salary cap, and you have to take into consideration how that's going to affect your franchise, whereas, I'm sorry, I thought this was America, to quote a great philosopher by the name of Randy Marsh, where if you have more money than the next team, why don't you go out and use that to your advantage? And you can do that in other sports. I'm thinking of another situation here with NHL free agency, which is underway right now, because Artemi Panarin is now going to be
paid.
Yes. The bread man got some bread from the New York Rangers. And if this is another sport, maybe he's still a member of the Chicago Blackhawks. But the Chicago Blackhawks, because of the salary cap constrictions of the NHL, had to get very creative in trading off some very young, affordable pieces within the last couple years, because they were in need of teams to take bad contracts off their hands. And it's not much fun as a sports fan sitting here watching general managers and president of basketball operations or president of hockey operations, baseball operations. They're putting together these teams, and they're doing it with a cinder block around their neck, basically, because of cap constraints. And the way that the NBA sets things up with the sign and trade and its salary structure, it takes a little bit of the fun out of this, because it reminds you, and again, this is for all of the people out there who, you know, sports is an escape. You want sports to be an escape from the real world. It's not an escape when you look deep at it and realize that this is all dollars and cents. And it's not about fun. It's about dollars and cents and maximizing investments. And so I'm watching all of this unfold, and to me it's fascinating to a certain extent, and then it's deeply maddening at the other end of the spectrum, because...
So who's playing where?
Yeah, and the max contracts and the super max contracts, and like you said, the sign and trade. Very difficult to follow along, but let us not forget about the fact that the New York Knicks could not find anybody who wanted to play for them. This is a franchise of Patrick Ewing, Charles Oakley. This is a franchise that, if you want to go back even further, to Willis Reed and Bill Bradley and a center by the name of Phil Jackson, who was an afterthought on that team, but Earl Monroe. One of the marquee franchises in league history, and right now they are the NBA equivalent of the Tampa Bay Rays, except Tampa Bay wins baseball games.
That is the big difference, yes.
And has young talent on the way up that people are excited about seeing, like Brendan McKay, who is the latest rookie to make his debut with Tampa Bay. The Knicks don't have any of that. So they don't have the exciting young talent on the way up, and they don't have the ability to lure in or pull in top free agents, whereas a couple weeks ago, this is what we were told. This is what we were told was going to happen, that they were going to be a super team overnight. Now, kind of looks like the Lakers and a couple other teams have managed to pull that off. The Knicks, not so much.
So what I found funny with the Knicks was there were a lot of people digging up old tweets and old emails that they received from the ticket office of the New York Knicks. Can I read this email from a ticket salesman from the New York Knicks. This was back in March. Hi, Mark. I will be honest with you. If you don't get on board now for next season and something does happen, we will most likely be sold out, and then you will be paying premium prices on the secondary market. It's my job to help you get the prices for next year, so getting on board now is crucial.
I like the optimism, but the execution, I'll give it a 7.
Well, Reggie Bullock and Julius Randle and Bobby Portis.
And by the way, the Mark referenced in that email is our very own Mark Dukes. Very few people know this, but Mark has about 20 email addresses here at KGYM, and no one can ever keep them straight as to which one is current and which one he's forgotten the password to. And so we have set up one of his email accounts. We sign him up for all of these emails from NBA ticket brokers and season tickets. He's very interested in finding out season ticket prices for the Vancouver Canucks. Send those emails his way. I'm not going to get too upset. I mean, that guy's out there doing a job. It's like I don't get too upset at the telemarketers who call. But they're doing their job, but
it was the company line of next year we're going to have all these stars. You get on board now.
Well, you are talking to, up until recently, within the last couple years, somebody who was a fan of a franchise whose entire id centered on wait till next year and the promise of a bright future and Gary Scott at third base. So I sort of understand this. And this comes from the top down. These ticket people are buying into the same crap that James Dolan and the rest of the front office was shoveling. And I know they touched on this. Remember when Phil Jackson was absolutely pilloried by the New York media for not being able to turn that franchise around and not be successful? And everybody's, well, you know, Phil's lost a little bit of the luster there. He's not the basketball genius that everybody thinks he is, despite the fact that he has more rings than fingers. And it turns out that you put somebody else in charge of making the decisions, but they still have to work for the same owner and answer to the same ownership, you still have the same problems.
That's completely the problem right now, ownership. And there's no way to get over that right now other than James Dolan selling the team. And that's not going to happen. So it's one of those situations you're wondering when are the Knicks ever going to be relevant again? Will the Knicks ever be relevant again? I'm sure they will eventually, but it doesn't seem like it's going to be as long. They're going to be as long as James Dolan is the CEO of that team.
I do have to give ESPN credit. Baseball has finally knocked the NBA off the front page of ESPN.com. All it took was the death of a Major League Baseball player in order to do that. But the NBA is dominating the headlines here. All you need to do is go pull up Adrian Wojnarowski's Twitter feed, and you've got the absolute latest in news 20 minutes ago. His latest tweet, Golden State moving Shabazz Napier, Travion Graham, and Cash to Minnesota, a part of the D'Angelo Russell sign and trade. So now you've got a third party involved here, and it's just, you're shuffling around contracts and dollars and cents. You're not trading players. You're trading contracts and dollars and cents. And then you wait and see how everything settles down. And once the dust settles, then you look, and then the dollars and cents, then they become names on a roster. And then you can look and go, okay, what's the team look like this coming season? 319-366-1600. Still hanging out there is Kawhi Leonard, who appears to be taking his merry old time. He's an NBA champion. Let him do whatever he wants, but he's choosing between going back to Toronto and some other very lucrative offers.
Right, and it's completely sort of holding the NBA hostage right now, because the biggest storyline coming into today was that the balance of power has completely shifted in the NBA. A quarter of the league thinks they now have a chance at the title because Kevin Durant's out next year. He's no longer with the Golden State Warriors. Klay Thompson is going to be missing some time next year. The balance of power is even again. There are teams that have a shot that haven't had a shot in a long time. That will all change if Kawhi Leonard goes to the Los Angeles Lakers. And then nobody's going to have a shot as long as those guys stay healthy. If those guys are healthy, nobody is going to be able to beat LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Kawhi Leonard. So that decision looms very large for the balance of power in the National Basketball Association.
Klay Thompson, by the way, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, has a 15% trade kicker in his new five-year, $190 million deal. So he will get paid a good percentage of money should he be dealt down the road by Golden State to someone. 319-366-1600 is the Hertin & Stocker Jewelers text line. You can use it to reach out to us on that line. Again, 366-1600. Jerry Brewer, sports columnist for the Washington Post, is set to join us coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll get his thoughts on NBA free agency. And Sam McCowan of the Omaha World Herald covers the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Our stop today on the countdown to kickoff, Lincoln, Nebraska. How good are the Huskers going to be in year number two under Scott Frost? All that, plus it's all-star complaining season as Major League Baseball has announced its American League and National League rosters, and fans of a few teams, including the Minnesota Twins, are not happy about being snubbed. 319-366-16 and all that and more when we return. 450, it's the Todd Brolecamp Show with Alex Kuhn here on 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, and online at kgymradio.com. Back with more after this.
Come here. Get the ball. Good boy.
Give your pets the run of the house. Randy's Flooring has the largest selection of pet-friendly flooring in eastern Iowa. Come see all of it. Randy's Flooring in Coralville and Cedar Rapids. Local flooring experts by design.
Hear that? You're knocking on the front door of the new home you want to own. You might be close to making this big purchase, but just need a little help to get in the door. That's where the team of mortgage experts at Midwest One Bank can help. We support you so that you feel comfortable and empowered from open house to closing day. Simply put, we'll help you find your way home. It's empowered home ownership. It's Midwest One Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Welcome to Sherwin-Williams.
Hi there. I heard paints are 30% off.
Yep, and stains too.
Right here.
Mm-hmm. Only at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store.
Right now?
Well, June 21st through July 8th.
Ah, bring it in. I'm a big hugger.
It's cool. Ask Sherwin-Williams June 21st through July 8th and save 30% on paints and stains with sale prices starting at $26.94. Only at your local Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Let Audible heat up your summer fun. With an unmatched selection of audio entertainment you can listen to anywhere, including exclusive Audible originals. Compelling stories, thrilling performances, and A-list celebrity talent make Audible originals must-listen events, like Stan Lee's Alliances, A Trick of Light, performed by actress Yara Shahidi. Get it only from Audible, or choose a title perfect for your travel plans. Download the Audible app, start a 30-day trial, and your first audiobook is on us.
Guys know more is better. So this month, Sport Clips Haircuts is thanking our clients with a Sport Clips Instant Replay. It's double the MVP experience for the price of a single. So after your fresh cut, we double your relaxing massaging shampoo and our legendary hot steam towel. You can even turn your hot towel into a refreshing chilled towel to get the MVP on ice. Instant Replay. It's the MVP on repeat. Download the Sport Clips app and check in online today.
The weather's heating up, and at AutoZone, we have the Duralast batteries you can rely on to drive with confidence. They're proven tough, even in the most extreme conditions. That's because they're designed to improve performance and provide your ride with a powerful startup, which means you can count on them to deliver when you need it most. And they're available only at AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. With more than 5,600 locations nationwide, getting the job done just got easier. Based on data from the NPD Group Incorporated, Car Care Track 12 months ending December 2018.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Golic and Wingo on the road.
Live at the House of Blues Cleveland for the 2019 MLB All-Star Game.
Brought to you by Progressive Insurance and Sherwin-Williams.
Monday, July 8th
on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Play ball. 4:53, welcome back in. Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn with you until 7 o'clock tonight on all three KGYM frequencies. Online as well at KGYMradio.com, where we ask you today as part of our poll question, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast, who should start the All-Star Game for the American League this year? We'll give you several options. Alex Cora, manager of the Boston Red Sox, will have the final say on who gets the ball in this year's All-Star Game. We're going to talk about our All-Star complaints coming up later on in the program today, but I don't know how you can not expect us to address Luke Voit being snubbed.
That's true.
Now,
I guess they just couldn't take every Yankee.
Does this affect his ability to participate in the home run derby? Because don't you have to be an all-star to be in the home run derby?
You do not.
Did they change that?
No, there have been guys in the past that have been in the home run derby and not been all-stars, but
okay.
I don't know if he will.
He still has to get the invite.
Yes, and usually it's been, I remember Ryan Howard was in the home run derby the year after winning the home run derby to defend his crown when he wasn't an all-star, and there have been others, but it'll be interesting. I doubt at this point he will be in the home run derby. That's just my guess.
Man, speaking of being incredibly sad, was there a player whose career just careened off a cliff faster than Ryan Howard's?
No.
Ryan Howard went from being a tremendously dangerous hitter to just being below average. Baseball is a funny game sometimes. You stop and think about that. I do all the time about how guys can be on a Hall of Fame track and then you never hear from them again. Injuries have a lot to do with that. I think back to Grady Sizemore of the Cleveland Indians, who was sort of on a Mike Trout meteoric rise to stardom before Mike Trout was even in the picture, and then Grady Sizemore got injured, and he was done. Jason Bay, remember him?
Oh, I remember Jason Bay. Red Sox fans, you remember him?
Do an entire segment or do an entire show on all of these guys that, get out the memba berries. That's the second South Park reference in an hour here on the program, but these guys that you think are going to be Hall of Fame players, and then they go kaput for whatever.
Carlos Gonzalez.
I don't need any reminders about Carlos Gonzalez because I believe, at least at the moment, he's still a member of the Chicago Cubs, taking up a spot in that lineup. Cubs struggling with the Cincinnati Reds, and I go back to our conversation we had with Jesse Rogers last week about those games that you win, the games that you lose in the game of baseball, and it's the other 42 that are in the middle that decide how your season goes. You win 60, lose 60, and then the other 42, and Cubs are losing way too many of those 42s right now as they everybody needs a break going into the All-Star break, I feel. 319-366-1600. We'll get to All-Star complaints and snubs coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, but first we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll let you know what's in store for a 5 o'clock hour here on a Monday. Back with more after this.
This is the sound of a blizzard from the amazing DQ Summer Blizzard menu with 7 flavors, like new Sour Patch Kids, which sounds like the first home run of summer. Yahoo! Your first cannonball. Yahoo! Or your first road trip to the Grand Canyon. Yahoo! That's what the DQ Summer Blizzard menu really sounds like, with exciting flavors like new Sour Patch Kids and favorites like Brownie Dough. DQ, happy tastes good. Yahoo! At participating locations.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
When you purchase your parts at O'ReillyAuto.com, you can pick it up in-store when it's convenient for you. Your parts, tools, or accessories will be waiting at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. No shipping costs, easy returns, and convenient pickup. Shop O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
No game today. The Twins enjoying an off day in the Bay Area before a three-game series with the A's begins on Tuesday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis, 8:30 pregame, 9:07 start on Tuesday night from the Coliseum right here on your home for Twins baseball.
On 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
4:58, welcome back in as we round out the first of 3 hours here. It's the second hour of local programming. A reminder, you can tune into the Gym Class Monday through Friday. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes with you. Kicking off our four-hour local programming block brought to you by Third Base Brewery. You can tune in tomorrow and catch Scott and Mark again right here on KGYM. If you didn't catch their show today, Claire Peterson of the John Deere Classic, among their guests, podcast available at KGYMradio.com. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, a couple guests for you. We'll start things off with Washington Post sports columnist Jerry Brewer, who will recap the craziness that is the opening of NBA free agency. We'll get his thoughts on which teams so far are winners and losers. And the countdown to kickoff makes its second of 13 stops leading up to Big Ten football media days in Chicago later this month. Sam McEwen of the Omaha World Herald will be with us to talk. Scott Frost and the Nebraska Cornhuskers, picked by many to not only be a contender for the Big Ten crown this year, in particularly the Big Ten West, but some people are saying that the Huskers could be in the mix. I can't even bring myself to say it. We'll take this very seriously, though, with Sam when he joins us in the 5 o'clock hour. Stick with us. More to come on the way after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Breaking news, the Angels announced that starting pitcher Tyler Skaggs has died at the age of 27. No foul play suspected at this time. An investigation is ongoing. Tonight's Angels-Rangers game has been postponed. Skaggs last pitched on Saturday. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski and Zach Lowe report the Jimmy Butler to Miami deal is complete. Clippers added as a fourth team in the trade that also includes Philly and Portland. NBA Finals MVP Kawhi Leonard, the biggest name remaining on the free agent market. In addition to talking to the Raptors, Leonard will also speak with the Clippers and Lakers. Besides winning a title, there's another reason the Lakers want to add Leonard, says ESPN's Stephen A. Smith.
I think you need Kawhi if you want to shift the balance of power so dramatically that there's no question that you're the prohibitive favorites to capture a championship. Also, simultaneously keeping him away from the team that plays in the same city in the same building as you, which is the Los Angeles Clippers.
Thursday, NHL free agency, one big name has landed in the Big Apple. Left wing Artemi Panarin heading to the Rangers, 7 years, over $81 million.
Coming up Tuesday, Brooklyn went hard and the Knicks swung and missed
again.
But as NBA free agency is just getting ramped up, will the city of New York remain both the winner and the loser? The latest on all the moves and Woj bombs. Golic and Wingo Tuesday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
This SportsCenter update was brought to you by Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle. Learn more at ncsei.com.
Because we have so many clients referring us to their friends, I think that's our biggest, best story. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. I really think it's about us building that relationship and being an extension of their business. And even if I am just talking on the phone to them, you can see that smile on their face and know that another problem is solved.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Welcome back to Sports View. Today's topic, who's the greatest of all time? For my money, it's Progressive's home and auto bundle. It literally saves you money. Gentlemen, your thoughts?
Look, it's simple.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. Out of all the heroes, take away the zeros. And what you got? One big trophy and me saying, I told you so.
I disagree.
Thanks, fellas. Took the words right out of my mouth.
There's really no debate. Progressive's home and auto bundle is a winning combination. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game when you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? for $45 a month. Get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
5:03, we welcome you back in a Monday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented by Randy's Flooring. They have a wide variety of pet and kid-friendly flooring options available for you. You can check them out at one of their two corridor locations, Cedar Rapids or Coralville, or online at randysflooring.com, our Monday presenting sponsor. The countdown to kickoff is set to continue coming up in the, I'd say about 20 minutes from now. Sam McCowan of the Omaha World Herald will be with us to preview the Nebraska Cornhuskers, fellow member of the Big Ten West, along with the Iowa Hawkeyes. Your texts and phone calls welcome as well, 319-366-1600. As we continue to discuss NBA free agency and the effect or fallout, as the case may be, on the rest of the league, with us to kick off the 5 o'clock hour, Jerry Brewer, sports columnist for the Washington Post. I know democracy dies in darkness. I don't know whether that same could be said about the New York Knicks or not. But, Jerry, how many Brooklyn Nets fans were created within the last 24 hours?
Oh, you know, maybe 175,000.
When you look at the New York Knicks and the current state of disarray of that franchise, how much does it add to it that another franchise who have just kind of put roots in the city sort of overtakes you in your own city?
It's the ultimate humbling and kind of put you in your place. I think if the New York Knicks want to be introspective as an organization, I think they have to look at all the times in which they could have rebuilt and they looked for the quick way out. And I think this is maybe the most painful of all, that there was a free agency period in which someone was interested in coming to New York, multiple someone's who really could have changed your entire organization, and they decided to go to Brooklyn and not in Manhattan. The fact that they play in Madison Square Garden doesn't matter to kids right now. The fact that they are the New York Knicks, and historically it's one of the most famous organizations in the NBA, doesn't matter to players right now. And the good news for them is that they do have an intriguing young talent in RJ Barrett that they can continue to put assets around, young draft assets, and try to build it up that way. But hopefully this free agency period has finally taught them, you got to know that you don't have that lofty place in the NBA that you think, I mean, you think you are entitled to. You got to earn it. And we'll see if they go through the process to try to earn it this time around.
Conversely, you have the Brooklyn Nets here who seem to have gone from rags to riches. Is this approach going to work out for them? Are they instantly one of these teams that vaults to contender?
You know, it's kind of funny because, you know, I almost look at next year as a gap year for them. Because Kevin Durant won't be there. So the real impact that they could possibly have is a bit delayed. But you're still talking about a team that made it to the playoffs a year ago, made it very difficult in the playoffs. And now, in theory, you've upgraded at point guard from D'Angelo Russell to Kyrie Irving, especially in scoring ability and maybe efficiency as an offensive weapon as well. And you add DeAndre Jordan to a mix, you know, pretty good mix already of big men with Jared Allen, you know, the young center of the future. So you look at them and you're like, they've got pieces, and it's real key for them next year to maybe jump up and maybe be fifth best in the East and really set yourself up to where everything is right so that when Kevin Durant comes in, you can make a real run for the finals. But everything's not automatic with them, but what I love about them is they spent all that time when they were terrible, when they didn't have their draft picks because they had traded them all to the Celtics in that ridiculous Kevin DeGarnett, Paul Pierce deal. All the time that they've spent down, they've done a great job of, especially the last 3 years, of player development and figuring out a game plan to put together talent that was underrated. And now they've got the chance. Now you're putting stars to all this good substance that you have. And we'll see. It's not going to be easy. And we also, let's not underrate the fact that we all assume that Kevin Durant is going to come back and be incredible because he's Kevin Durant. But there will be some after effects from having an Achilles injury. And so he's going to have to change up his game a bit. And does that make him the ninth best player in the league instead of first or second or third? I don't know. Does it make him the 17th best player in the league? We don't know that yet. And that's going to have a big impact on whether they win the championship or not. But no doubt about it, they are one of the three or four most relevant teams in the NBA right now, which is something that they've been desperate for ever since they made the move from New Jersey to Brooklyn.
I'm glad you bring up that trade because it nearly derailed the franchise. How have they been able to build all these pretty darn good role players around now the superstars that they brought in free agency, despite the fact that they really didn't have first-round picks for a while?
Well, they didn't waste opportunities. You know, it reminds me a little bit of the Denver Nuggets and a little bit of the Toronto Raptors really taking advantage of second-round picks, undrafted guys, late first-round picks. They had a couple of times in which they had cap space in free agency, but they used their cap space in order for players to do a salary dump. You know, you think about D'Angelo Russell was sort of an attachment to a salary dump, so the Lakers could get under the cap, and then they're able to develop him as he should have been, being the number two pick in his draft, into an all-star player. So I think they've been very creative. You know, you look at how they created the room to get DeAndre Jordan and make it three players that they were acquiring. You know, they essentially turned portions of Kevin Durant's money and Kyrie Irving's money into bonuses that they're not going to be able to get that first year so that they could squeeze DeAndre Jordan in. And that was an incredible way to work around some of the NBA salary cap restrictions and something that was rather novel based on what other teams, you know, haven't thought of doing. So they have built one of the model front offices in the league, and now they're able to benefit from it.
Washington Post sports columnist Jerry Brewer with us on the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. The last domino, or one of the last dominoes out here to fall, is Kawhi Leonard. What are we expecting him to wind up doing?
You know, you never know with Kawhi, and all of us are guessing because he plays it so close to the vest. I think he should go back to Toronto, and I think he ultimately will, and here's why. The medical training staff situation. He just had a year in which Toronto rented him. Toronto could have fought with him about playing time. Instead, they managed his body correctly. They did the whole load management thing, giving him time off, making sure that they had him right for the postseason. And he was fantastic in the postseason. And I think he needs to take that into account. And I think that he will, that he trusts that staff. And they're a team that if Kawhi comes back, they are going to be the favorite to win the NBA title. Forget about, you know, what else the Lakers could do, even though they've got two dominant players and a really good player in Kyle Kuzma. If Kawhi comes back, they're the favorite. He trusts them with his body versus an L.A. situation, and now it looks like it's the Lakers and the Raptors. The glitz and glamour and the fact that he could return home to Southern California is an obvious appeal to him. However, they're going to have such a limited roster around him because he's going to eat up all their cap space if he comes. And they had, if you really do the research, it was a bit of a disaster, their medical training situation over the past year or so. And particularly last year, and LeBron missed a career-high number of games, and Lonzo Ball yet again couldn't stay healthy. His dad questioned their training methods. Rajon Rondo couldn't stay healthy. Brandon Ingram couldn't stay healthy. The list of injuries on that team went on and on and on, and that cost them a playoff spot. So if you're Kawhi, I think you're really going to scrutinize, well, what's your plan to keep me healthy And he knows on one end, I just want a championship with these guys who have a great plan. And do I really want to sacrifice that for the known of unknown of L.A.? And he can sign a short-term deal in Toronto to kind of finish what he started. And the L.A. option would still be there 2 years from now.
Is it as simple as saying that no matter where Kawhi goes, since you said that it seems as though it's down to Toronto and L.A., the team that he goes to is going to be the favorite to win the championship next year?
I think that absolutely is the case, unless he just went way off script and did something that shocked everyone. I think he holds the key to everything, and I think they not only do I think they are the favorite, I think people won't give, maybe if it's Toronto, they won't give them the credit that they deserve, but I think if he goes back to Toronto, they are a runaway favorite, even though there's going to be a lot more parity in the league. If he goes to Los Angeles, obviously they're the favorite, but we still have to worry about their depth concerns and how they build out the rest of the team around those guys. But there's no question that they would be right on top as we start the year.
Jerry, one of the names we haven't really brought up with you yet is Kemba Walker, who is the newest member of the Boston Celtics. A lot of people have been a little critical of how Michael Jordan handled the situation with Kemba Walker as far as what he offered him. What are your thoughts on Kemba Walker arriving in Boston and how this came to be?
Well, the way I understand it, they offered him around $160, $170 million. And because he had made third team All-NBA, he was eligible for a contract that could have gotten him up to $221 million. Kemba Walker is not worth $44 million a year. And I don't think that we should call Michael Jordan cheap because he was willing to pay $32 to $34 million a year for Kemba Walker. I think this is a situation in which it would have been a disastrous move for the franchise to pay a very good player that much money at this point in his career. And I think that for Kemba Walker, he should want out of Charlotte's situation anyway. They were only going to be, you know, a bottom 7 or 8 seed in the East, no matter what they did, because of their financial situation. So I think this is ultimately a negative product of the NBA's introduction of the Supermax. And they did this to incentivize stars to stay in their markets. However, I think that the stipulations on who is Supermax eligible is a little too loose, meaning if you make all NBA first, second, or third team, or if you're a defensive player of the year, MVP, that if you qualify, if you do that within 1 year of when your contract is up, I think that's just, I mean, that's 15 or 16 guys who are Supermax eligible, and I think it should only be for the best of the best. And I think you should, the requirement should either be first team, or you have to be first and second within the last few years before you're eligible to weed out people like Kemba Walker, who was third team, didn't even lead his team to the playoffs, and now you're asking this franchise to pay him more money than Steph Curry makes. I mean, come on, let's get real. So I don't blame Michael Jordan as much as others do. I think just the infrastructure of the NBA and the way they devised the Supermax had flaws that they did not foresee.
Now, Jerry, there's been a lot of discussion about where Jimmy Butler would best fit in the NBA. Now, he's heading to Miami. As soon as he got there, the Miami Heat announced that they were trading one of their better players in Hassan Whiteside. The roster right now doesn't look pretty, but a lot of people have brought up the fact that Pat Riley and the culture there, Eric Spoelstra, might be good for Jimmy Butler. What are your thoughts about Jimmy Butler in Miami?
I think he'll be great for them, and they'll be tough and hard to beat. But they're not gonna beat Brooklyn when Kevin Durant comes back. They're not gonna beat Philadelphia with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons and all of those guys. They're not gonna beat Milwaukee and Giannis. They're probably not gonna beat the Celtics when all things are said and done with how they build that team with Kemba's addition to that squad. So. this was Jimmy wanting to be the man and wanting to be the man in a better market. I think he sees himself as the star. So he wanted to be in L.A., Miami, you know, that kind of environment. And he wanted to be the lead dog when I think he's better as a number two, maybe even a number three option on a championship team. So it's great for the Heat. It makes the East a little deeper, a little tougher, but I don't see how they're going to become some championship contender this way. And with Jimmy, you never know just how impatient and how upset he is going to be with his teammates.
You mentioned Philadelphia. What did you make of their signing of Al Horford? Is that a piece that can help them push for the Eastern Conference this year?
Surprising move, but really solid. I think it's underrated. Yeah, it's hard to give Al 4 years at his age with, you know, he's a guy who has to miss about 15 games per year just to kind of manage his body. But they needed another big. And so now when Embiid is healthy and Al is playing, you got those two together. And now when Embiid is out, then you got Al can slide over into the center spot and you can play smaller and you're not going to have as much of a fall off. And I think a lot of that was just they can't be as dependent on Joel as they have been, which is unfortunate because he's a max player, one of the best guys in the league, but they needed some kind of contingency and I think they got it.
Jerry, before we let you go, I want to ask you about your terrific column that you wrote on Megan Rapinoe recently. Megan Rapinoe isn't here to make you comfortable. What was it about her, the star of the U.S. Women's National Team, that drew you to her as a subject?
I think it's just the way everyone reacts to her. She is just a lightning rod, and I think through her, you see and how polarizing she is. It says something about where the country is right now. And it's fascinating because it's fascinating to view her at a time in which there's extreme patriotism through sports because you want that women's team to bring home the gold. And she's just relentless. And there are some things about her that I don't necessarily like, especially when she's it gets vulgar in talking about her issues, but I think she has just been a great mirror for us to view ourselves and how we view the country through her.
Well, it's a great column. People can find the link to that and more on your Twitter, which is at Jerry Brewer. Thanks for making the time for us tonight, Jerry. I really do appreciate it.
No problem. Anytime.
Jerry Brewer of the Washington Post with us as we discuss NBA free agency and more with him. And Kawhi Leonard, he's earned the right to be able to take his time.
It is so funny because everybody's rushing and everybody's waiting for all these tweets to pop up. And I can just see Kawhi Leonard sitting there on a beach somewhere. Yeah, I'll figure it out tomorrow. Not worried about it.
No, there are a couple teams out there who are basically, they're not hostage to Kawhi Leonard's decision at this point, but you don't want to make decisions and commit money to various players if you don't know for certain whether or not you have to commit money to him or not. So sooner or later, he's going to have to make his decision known. I agree with Jerry. If I'm Kawhi Leonard, I just hang out in Canada. I stick around. Why not? Play for a really great coach in Nick Nurse. You've got basically an entire country on your side. We've seen the reaction to the Raptors winning the NBA championship very similar to the Blue Jays winning the World Series in the early 90s. And the entire nation, which, by the way, happy Canada Day to everybody out there, including Sonny in Iowa City, who presumably is listening to us, although maybe he took the day off today for Canada Day. I don't know what the rules are on that, but seems like an appropriate time to bring Canada Day into the discussion. 319-366-1600. Speaking of discussions, we're going to have a good one next as the countdown to kickoff continues. Big Ten Media Day on the horizon. Chicago, just a couple weeks away. And Sam McEwen of the Omaha World Herald will be with us to discuss Scott Frost and the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Huskers 3-6 in the Big Ten last season, 4-8 overall. But if you take out the narrow 3-point loss to the Hawkeyes at the end of the season last year, the Huskers had won 4 of their last 5 games to end the season prior to the loss in the Heroes game. Maybe they are primed for bigger and better things this year. Or maybe this is the team that everybody buys into. There's always one team every year where it's the sexy pick and they fail to deliver. That could be Nebraska too. We'll ask Sam that and more as he joins us on the other side of this break. When we return, our producer, Kyle Mann, is going to get you up to speed on all the goings-on today in the Eastern Iowa sports scene. A Big Board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber in Iowa City is on the way after this.
So you're upgrading a house, planning an incredible master bath, a stunning open concept kitchen, but for the backyard deck, something square? Imagination shouldn't end at the back door. Create something truly inspired with TimberTech. Design versatility and technological superiority to vastly improve your home improvement. Imagine the possibilities at TimberTech.com. Bring your outdoor living space to life with TimberTech from Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com. Celebrate this season with a bang with the opportunity of a lifetime from Imon. For a limited time, lock in your internet price for life. That's right, get Imon 80 megabit internet for just $64 a month and lock in this fantastic monthly rate for life. Freedom from annual price increases. No ugly surprises when your promotion expires. For the first time ever, you have the opportunity to lock it in for life. Switch to Imon's Price for Life internet service today. Go to imon.net/radio before July 4th to sign up and lock it in for life.
For every step of achievement,
Christopher Michael Jones.
For every joy-filled laugh, for every dream becoming reality.
Welcome to retirement, honey.
For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust is here. We'll come alongside you for all life's milestones, because after all, you're our neighbor. We're more than just a financial institution, and we take our relationship with you seriously. That's why Two Rivers Bank is working on new products and services now that will make your life easier in the future. So, whether you're planning for college, starting a family, or recent empty nesters, Two Rivers Bank will be thinking about your needs before you even know you have them. For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust.
My neighborhood,
my bank.
Find out more at tworiversbank.com. It's gonna be the best day alive. Member FDIC.
Hi, I'm a local dollar, and I just want you to know that if you buy local, that local businesses can grow. Put me in the pocket of your local grocery store, or take me to the farmer's market for flowers, soaps, and more. Spend me at the diner, or get ice cream at the pool. Put me down for coffee, or donate me to your school.
KGYM is a local radio station. We are local.
We support local.
Yay!
A local dollar goes a long, long way, but it's never far from home.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
It's a Major League Baseball 4th of July doubleheader. First, the Pirates face the Cubs. Then the Braves face the Phillies.
Thursday afternoon, starting at 2:30 here on the gym. KGYM.
5:27, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continues on a Monday, presented by Randy's Flooring. You can find him in Iowa City on the Coralville Strip or here in Cedar Rapids. NHL free agency is also underway, and the Chicago Blackhawks made a ripple earlier today in signing Robin Lehner as apparently as backup insurance in case Corey Crawford should go down. They want to make sure that they have a capable veteran in place to step in and play. So no changing of the guard in between the pipes for the Blackhawks. It's still Corey Crawford's team, but they do seem to be increasingly concerned about his long-term health and stability there. So Robin Lehner's a fascinating story. I was reading
definitely
his background, has battled substance abuse issues, has battled mental health
bipolar disorder
issues, and is still with us, which I think is a good thing, and being open about his struggles, which I also think is a very good thing. 319-366-1600. I was reading a message from a friend on Facebook over the weekend. It wasn't a message to me. It was a post that they made on their page, and they were discussing their own issues with depression and mental health. And I read it, and then I reread it, and I thought, I don't know if I would have even half the courage that that person did to put that out there publicly. So if you're someone out there that struggles with issues such as depression, know that somebody out there cares about you. I try to pass that along every once in a while here on this program. And today, July 1st, would probably be a good time to remind everybody out there that that still is the case. 319-366-1600. The countdown to kickoff continues momentarily as we'll take a closer look at the Nebraska Cornhuskers. No, we are not checking in with Doug and Daddy. We've got Sam McEwen of the Omaha World Herald set to join us. But first, Kyle's going to bring you a big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber in Iowa City. You can also check out the Answers by Alexander showroom on South Gilbert Street.
A former Cyclone guard got a taste of the free agency frenzy this afternoon as Matt Thomas has agreed to a 3-year low-dollar deal with the Toronto Raptors. The 6'5" guard shot 44% in his final 2 seasons at Iowa State, and in 2 seasons playing professionally in Spain, averaged 13 points and shot 47% from three. And with Thomas now stateside, 6 Cyclones from the 2015-2016 team are now in the pros. Nick Weiler-Babb could technically make it 7. Current Iowa State point guard Tyrese Halliburton is playing with the under-19 team in Greece for the FIBA World Cup, and he showed out yesterday in a 102-84 victory over Lithuania. He had game highs across the board with 35 minutes played, 21 points, 4 made threes, 8 assists, only 1 turnover, 5 steals, and all that going from 8 for 9 from the field. He also had 8 assists and 1 turnover and led the team and made threes in a 40-point win over New Zealand the day prior. The team finishes preliminary play tomorrow. Former Hawkeye Megan Gustafson scored 4 points in 10 minutes for the Dallas Wings in a win yesterday, but she also inked a new deal earlier today. Gustafson and her agency announced that following the WNBA season, she'll be playing in Hungary. The Colonels took game 1 of a home series against Kane County with a 6-0 shutout on Saturday, led by Josh Winder, who's really starting to look like a prospect for the Twins. Coming off a Midwest League All-Star appearance, he put forth his very best effort to date, yielding only 3 hits while striking out 8 and walking none over 8. A loss in Game 2 brought about a rubber match earlier this afternoon, and they spent most of it tied at 1 until Chris Williams and Gabe Snyder knocked home 3 in the bottom of the 8th. The team's taken off to Burlington for 2 games before returning home. They'll have a 5 o'clock start hosting Burlington here on the 4th of July.
So the odds have been released on what team Kawhi Leonard will play for next season, and the Clippers are actually the favorite at even money, followed by the Raptors at plus 150, and then the Lakers at plus 600.
The Clippers are still in the picture.
The Clippers are still in the picture and are paying even money if you want to get down on some of that sweet, sweet degenerate action, which we're not legally allowed to here in the state of Iowa, at least not yet.
It's July 1st. What's going on?
But if you're headed to Las Vegas, presumably you could also wager on this offshore, but Kawhi Leonard looking like the Clippers or staying with the Raptors, the two most likely choices there. 319-366-1600. As the show continues on, we'll get to All-Star snubs coming up in just a little bit, because baseball fans love much. There isn't much baseball fans love more than being angry. And we love to be angry about players being snubbed during All-Star season. So we'll get to that. I think Mitch Garver, who was on the show with us a couple weeks ago, probably merited some consideration for the American League team and probably a couple more of his Minnesota Twins teammates as well. We'll get to that. Twins games, by the way, can be heard all summer long on 107.5 FM, the North Gym. 1600 AM Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio and great local programming like this show. The countdown to kickoff is underway. Big Ten Media Day coming up later this month. The kickoff began without me on Friday as Alex and Kyle took a look at the Michigan Wolverines. Today we turn our attention west to the Nebraska Cornhuskers. And Sam McEwen, who covers the Huskers for the Omaha World Herald, is with us on the line now. Stop number two in the countdown to kickoff and Big Ten Media Days. Sam, there's a lot of buzz around Big Ten country about the Huskers this year. Can they live up to the hype?
Well, that's a great question. It seems like national media outlets believe that Nebraska is a top 15, the top 20 to top 25 team. I think locally, maybe we've been, you know, coached this way by some of the coaches. We're probably a little bit leery of that at this point. I think they feel like there is a lot still to do. They feel like they got the culture right, but, you know, some of the depth at certain spots is still a question mark. So, you know, I always do a range, and I think the range is somewhere around 7 to 9 wins. And anything on the low end of that, I think, would be very surprising. I think anything higher than 9, you get up into 10 and 11, would be one heck of a season. I mean, Adrian Martinez would be a Heisman Trophy finalist kind of season. And he could be that. He's a special player. But I think people look at Nebraska and they see two things. They see the head coach, Scott Frost. He knows offense. And a lot of people watched the Nebraska-Ohio State game last year. I mean, it was one of the most watched games of the season last year. One of the, 20 or 25 most watched games. It was an 11 a.m. game. Ohio State was trying to make the playoff, and everybody watched Nebraska that day. And they're like, this team isn't very good, but they've got pieces, and they could get good. And they probably should have beaten Ohio State that day. And, ooh, look at the quarterback. He's good. You know, so I think people all saw that, and they kind of said, okay, yeah, that's a pretty good team. And then at the end of the season, they beat Michigan State, and then they lost to Iowa 31-28. And Iowa was good last year. 9-4, I don't know if people see that as good, but I know Iowa was good. They were very, very close to being 11-1 or 10-2 in the regular season. So I know how good Iowa was, and I know how well Nebraska played that day to be within 3 points. And so I think the presumption is Nebraska's going to get that much better, and they've got the quarterback – that can put them over the top. And people are right about the second part. I still think Nebraska needs some work on its offensive line and some areas, but I do think Nebraska can be much improved, and it won't surprise me in a bit if they go from 4 to 8 wins at the very least.
When you look at what is surrounding Adrian Martinez offensively, what is the backfield? We'll start there. What is the backfield going to look like without Divine Azigbo?
Well, there's a question mark there. The guy that's the running back that was returning is Maurice Washington. He's got a court case in California that still needs to be resolved. His next court date is July 25th. I won't go into all that. It's been a long story, and we'll see how it gets resolved. They got a junior college back by the name of Dedrick Mills, who's played his freshman year, true freshman year at Georgia Tech, was good there, had about 890 yards rushing. And was the bowl MVP. And then he got thrown off the team for testing positive 3 times for weed, which he admits. So this isn't like some big secret or anything. He admits it. Georgia Tech admitted it. So then he went to junior college, got hurt. And he came back last year and had a big season. And now he's expected to be one of their top backs. And he's good. He's tough. Big, thick guy. Similar to Iowa's running back, Mekhi Sargent, but thicker on the bottom. So he probably weighs 10-15 pounds more than Sargent does. So he's a guy that they're looking at. And then they've got a bunch of guys who really were running backs in high school, that they're sort of using as hybrid receiver slash running backs in this system. Three of them. The one that most people know is Wandale Robinson, who most people think is going to be a lot like Rondale Moore at Purdue, a kid by the name of Ramir Johnson, who is a sprint champion out of New Jersey, and then a kid by the name of Miles Jones, who's a redshirt freshman out of Florida. All three of those guys were running backs, straight-up running backs in high school. They are now moving to sort of this hybrid role where they're going to play a little bit of receiver and a little bit of running back. And so the way that Nebraska runs its offense, they're going to use those guys in various capacities. And so, you know, at times it'll be a jet sweep. At times it'll be a speed option. They'll use them in ways that are like a running back, but it's not like a traditional I-back that you would find at Wisconsin or Iowa or even at times Northwestern. So they've got dudes. It's just that they play different positions and you're not exactly sure who in a given game is going to get the ball.
Sam McEwen with us from the Omaha World Herald talking Nebraska football on our countdown to kickoff and the lead up to Big Ten football media days in Chicago later this month. Sam, what would you say the biggest question mark is surrounding this team as it prepares to embark on the 2019 season?
Offensive line and pass rush, which aren't necessarily the best things to have question marks about, right?
No, not at all.
Interior offensive line. They have to replace two starters, both of whom were fifth-year seniors. They got another guy coming back, but we'll see where he plays. So they got to replace their center, and they got to replace a left guard. And they might use the guy that was a right guard to play center. So there's a lot of different question marks still about that internal core. The offensive line has been sort of a vexing issue at Nebraska for several years now, and I like their offensive line coach, but he's still working on that. Like, he's still recruiting, and they're going to have a whole different kind of line, a whole different kind of thing going in about 2-3 years. So the offensive line is one question. And then the pass rush. Now, they got a defensive coordinator, Eric Chenander, who can manufacture a pass rush. You know, he can get aggressive, and he'll bring, and he's not afraid to bring 6, 7, 8 guys at a quarterback. That's not his fear. But of course, every single time you bring 6, 7, or 8, you're putting your secondary in a tough spot. So there were games last season where they knew they couldn't get there with 4, so they had to bring the house. Against Northwestern at Burnham, they lost the game because in several situations they brought the house. Northwestern picked up just enough of it, and a receiver beat a Nebraska safety for a first down on the penultimate play of the Iowa-Nebraska game. Right, they bring 7 against Nate Stanley, and he throws to T.J. Hockenson, who just beats a safety. Safety didn't close fast enough. Game over. Iowa comes out, trots on, kicks a field goal, wins the game. Some of that's a function of they can't, you know, it's hard for them to generate a pass rush. So they didn't want Stanley to sit there for 4 seconds and pick the defense apart. So they brought heat, and in bringing that, they left a first-round draft pick wide open. So they have to find a way to get a pass rush generated with 4 or 5 guys, and that's still a work in progress. I don't know if they have that. They've worked on some things, but we don't really know yet. I'm sure they'd love to come out and say, we're going to get after the quarterback with 4 guys or 5 guys, and we're not going to rely on the 6 or 7 unless we absolutely have to. But they relied on 6 and 7 a lot last season, probably more than any team in the Big Ten. So, you know, they've got to figure that out, and I'm not sure they have a definitive answer there quite yet.
Eric Shenander's defensive unit as a whole came under a lot of fire last year in year number one. How much better is that unit going to have to be as a whole if this team wants to get to that point where they want to get this year?
It'll have to be better, and it will be. It'll be better. They got a graduate transfer from Oklahoma State. His name's Darian Daniels, and he's about 6'3 and about 325, and he's just perfect for a 3-4 nose. Now, at Oklahoma State, they played sort of a smaller, quicker defense, and he was a defensive tackle down there, and he was pretty good. But he'll be good in this system because they won't ask him to go and get 9 tackles a game. They're going to ask him to anchor the middle and take on double teams and free up the linebackers to make tackles. And I think Darian's going to do that really well. Their defensive line depth is better. Their strength and conditioning along the defensive line is better. It's important to note that Nebraska had run a 4-3 for a really, really long time. They ran a 4-3 under Bo Pelini. And then the first 2 years of the Mike Riley era, they had a defensive coordinator who ran a 4-3 as well, similar to what Pat Narduzzi ran at Michigan State, now runs at Pittsburgh, and what Michigan State runs now. So all the guys they had recruited were smaller and quicker for a 4-3. And so now they move to this 3-4, and it's been harder because 3-4 defensive linemen have to hold, you know, hold up the offensive linemen. So they've had to put some weight on guys, and they've had to get in the weight room and be very not just agile, but physically strong up top. So it's taken probably two strength and conditioning cycles to get to that point. And I think they're there now, so they're going to be better on defense than they were, in part because of the defensive line. Now, the secondary last season was actually pretty good. As that season went on, the secondary was tested more and more. And after they screwed up against Northwestern, and you can't sugarcoat what happened in that game in the fourth quarter, they didn't get it done. But after that, they got a lot better. And they were pretty darn good against Iowa. You know, again, Iowa's got an NFL quarterback and two NFL first-round draft picks that he's throwing the ball to. And then he's got really good offensive linemen, too. So in that game, they did better than, not on the last play, but they did pretty well. And I think that, you know, as that season went on, they made it harder and harder for opposing quarterbacks to complete passes on. So Stanley in that game was 16-27, which isn't bad, but it was only for 152 yards. So they did a better and better job of taking away those deep routes. And that's part of what made them a better defense as the season wore on. So they're going to be better this year. They're awfully fast in certain spots. They're very athletic. They're dangerous. In that way, they're not going to necessarily be as big as Iowa's defense. They're not going to be as big as Wisconsin's defense. They won't be as big as Michigan's defense, but they're fast. And in that speed, I think they hope to create turnovers and create some havoc. So I think they expect to be better, and I think they will be.
Sam, I'll ask you to look into your crystal ball here momentarily. Can you give me one or two newcomers that you think will have the biggest impact on the season for Nebraska this year?
Daniels, for sure. You know, the graduate transfer from Oklahoma State. Robinson, who I mentioned, who is just kind of a live wire, a really talented player. And then a guy they got from California, a graduate transfer named Kanawai Noah, who is, you know, a good receiver there, a solid possession receiver, played in the slot, played outside a little bit, and will probably be their number three or number four receiver on offense. Those are three probably newcomers to look at. If you're talking straight up freshmen, Wendell Robinson is one. Dedrick Mills, he's not a freshman, but he'd be the other one, that junior college running back. He's a load. He's an interesting runner. He's between the tackles guy, and you don't want to mess with him inside the 10. He's not going to break 60 yard runs, but he's a load. He reminds me of the guy that just graduated from Purdue, DJ Knox. You remember him at all? Just kind of a bowling ball. And don't want to tackle him, but isn't gonna bust out 70 yards because he can't run away from people. But I like what he brings to the table. Now they just need to add a speed component to that.
Were you surprised at all to see Scott Frost put the expectations on Adrian Martinez, saying that he wants him or thinks he could be the greatest quarterback to ever play at Nebraska?
Well, no, I wasn't surprised. I mean, Adrian has the best skill set. If you're just talking, you know, a guy that can play NFL quarterback, he has the best skill set since really any Nebraska quarterback since Turner Gill or David Hump. Now, Turner, if he had developed in a different way, Turner would have played in the NFL for a long time, but he was in an option offense. But and Adrian has incredible skills. He's got really good footwork. He's a good passer. He throws the ball, releases well, has good sense of timing and when to scramble. And you know, I think the other piece is he just processes the game really well. So he makes good decisions on the fly. And that differentiates himself. And I've covered every Nebraska quarterback under the sun. I'm not trying to knock anybody, but that differentiates him from the three previous starting quarterbacks that they had from 2011 through 2017. I mean, he makes better decisions than Lee Armstrong and Taylor Martinez made. And that's just not a small thing. Now, he's still got to work on not fumbling the football. That's the last piece to come. But Martinez, you know, diagnoses the offense better and diagnoses the defense and knows kind of what to do with it. And he's got a lot of poise. So I'm not surprised. I think Scott, when he saw Martinez, thought there's a lot of Marcus Mariota in Martinez. And there is. And I think any time that you see somebody that resembles Marcus Mariota, then I think you're probably going to think that kid can be the best ever. So I'm sure that's their plan. I don't know if he's going to reach those heights, but I know as a freshman, he's better than anybody they've ever had.
Sam, before we part ways with you, you said earlier that 7, 8, 9 wins is maybe realistic for this Nebraska team. We all know expectations and the Nebraska fan base. Could they live with a 7 or 8 win year? Or would they view that as sort of a letdown?
No, they'd live with it. 8 wins, I think, would be, people probably be a little disappointed, because if you're talking 8, but somewhere in there you're losing a game you'd rather not lose. If you're talking 8, 4 losses, you're talking probably Ohio State, probably some game on the road that you didn't expect to lose, either Wisconsin or Iowa, and then, maybe another one along the way. So I think 8 would be all right. 7 would be probably a little disappointing to fans. 7 would have been very good last year. I think people would have been very pleased with 7 last year. This year, a little disappointed, I think. I think most people are looking at 8 wins and saying that's a good number. I don't know. I mean, I think it could be 7 too. 7, 8, or 9, somewhere in there. And they're going to lose a game on the road. Their road games are at Colorado, at Illinois, at Minnesota, at Purdue, at Maryland. Off the top of my head, I think they're going to have a hard time winning at Purdue, because I think Purdue's pretty good. And I think if they're not careful, Minnesota will take them too. So they got to be smart about those road games. And then at home, it's Ohio State, Northwestern, Wisconsin, and Iowa. And I think they're going to be better than Wisconsin. I really do. I don't think Wisconsin is as good as they've been. I don't know about Iowa. I feel like the Nebraska-Iowa game could determine the Big Ten West. And I think Iowa's got a lot going for them. I think they have to figure out a few things on their offense too. But I think the Nebraska-Iowa game could very easily be for the West Division title. It would not surprise me in the least if Iowa goes into that game, 9-2. And Nebraska goes into that game 8-3, and whoever wins that game goes to Indianapolis. Iowa's schedule's a little harder than Nebraska's, so I could see them losing a couple more games along the way before they play that game, but it wouldn't surprise me if it was for the West Division title at all.
Sam, great stuff. We appreciate you joining us and previewing the Nebraska Cornhuskers, and maybe we'll finally get that big decisive heroes game at the end of the season that both sides of the fan bases have been hoping for in this matchup, and we just haven't quite got it yet, but maybe this is the year. Sam, appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
You bet. Take care.
Sam McEwen of the Omaha World Herald. And if you're a Huskers fan who does not already subscribe to the Omaha World Herald, I know they're doing a sale right now. You can get 3 months of coverage, 3 months worth of subscription to the Omaha World Herald for $5. It's not bad for good local journalism if you're a fan of Nebraska. There's no way in hell that fan base is happy with 8 wins this year. I will take exception to Sam, who's a fantastic reporter. He's been on the Nebraska beat for a really long time. I know most people would say, well, they won 4 a year ago, and they win 8. They double their win total. This is a fan base that has grand designs on this second season under Scott Frost. 8 wins, they're not embracing it. They may live with it, but they're not loving it.
Yeah, they're going to have to live with it. They're not going to win more than 9 games. They have so much offensively that they need to figure out. Defensively, you don't just flip a switch and all of a sudden become good when you were awful for most of last year. I have no doubt, and there is no doubt in my mind that they're going to be contending for many Big Ten Wests in the future, because I believe Scott Frost is possibly a top 5 coach in college football. I think he is that good, but they're not there yet, and you just don't skip steps after going 4-8 a year ago.
The Nebraska Cornhuskers, today's stop on the countdown to kickoff as we tick off Big Ten programs one by one leading up to Big Ten Football Media Days later this month in Chicago, Illinois. Tomorrow's stop on the countdown to kickoff is Champaign, Illinois. Jeremy Warner of the ESPN affiliate in Champaign, friend of the program. We see him every year at Big Ten Media Day. He's going to stop by and give us the lowdown on Lovie Smith and the Fighting Illini. 5:52 We need to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll let you know what's in store for the third and final hour of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on a Monday, being presented by the good folks at Randy's Flooring. Check them out on the Strip in Coralville, or if you're here in Cedar Rapids, Randy's Flooring has been Eastern Iowa's flooring leader for over 40 years. Stop on in and find out for yourself just why that is the case. Back with more after this.
Star Equipment now sells, rents, and repairs heavy-duty forestry equipment. Now carrying durable mulching heads, disc mulchers, and other skid steer attachments by FECON, Diamond, and Bradco. That means your next tough job just became a whole lot easier. Rent or buy your forestry equipment now at Star Equipment. And while you're there, ask about current government grants for mulching equipment. Star Equipment, Iowa born in 1968. StarEquip.com.
Come here. Get the ball. Good boy.
Give your pets the run of the house. Randy's Flooring has the largest selection of pet-friendly flooring in Eastern Iowa. Come see all of it. Randy's Flooring in Coralville and Cedar Rapids. Local flooring experts by design.
Free offer contingent on subscription. Pay shipping and handling. Cancel anytime. Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym and in the bedroom. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free when you text the word LIFT to 60-60-60. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text LIFT to 60-60-60. Text LIFT to 60-60-60.
The year was 1919. Barbasol shaving cream was invented by a dreamer named Frank Shields. The world's first modern shave cream, Barbasol changed the face of shaving forever. A few billion shaves later, Frank's dream lives on. Behind every face is a dream. Barbasol proudly salutes every fearless, self-assured, wide-eyed dreamer all across America. Celebrating 100 years, Barbasol.
Welcome back to Sports View. Today's topic, game changers. Makes me think of Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Finally, a simple, efficient way to quote home insurance. Let's go to Colin, who will now try to say something.
Okay, first of all, are you kidding? Never in my life. Okay, when you see stuff like this, look, I'm not the only one who thinks this, although everybody says I am.
Well said, Colin. Well said.
Get right to the point with Home Quote Explorer. It's a game changer. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers.
Is the car you're driving 2012 or newer? If so, here's something you need to know. Today's newer engines run hotter, making them more vulnerable to carbon buildup, which could affect engine performance. Protect your engine with new Valvoline Modern Engine Full Synthetic, specially formulated to protect cars built 2012 or newer from carbon buildup. Learn more at modernoil.com. Valvoline, since 1866. Visit AutoZone now. Buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Modern Engine Full Synthetic and an oil filter for $35.99. See store for restrictions and details.
At Fidelity, we believe nothing should come between you and your money. So we're introducing zero account fees with zero minimums to open an account. All because we want you to invest with zero trade-offs. Visit fidelity.com/value to learn more. Zero account minimums and zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. Expenses charged by investments such as funds and managed accounts and for commissions, interest charges, or other expenses for transactions may still apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, member NYSE, SIPC.
Golic and Wingo on the road.
Live at the House of Blues Cleveland for the 2019 MLB All-Star Game.
Brought to you by Progressive Insurance and Sherwin-Williams.
Monday, July 8th
on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Welcome back in. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you today on a Monday. Heavy hearts in the baseball community, and that includes here in Cedar Rapids with the Cedar Rapids Colonels as the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim the Colonel's former parent club, announcing today the passing of left-handed pitcher Tyler Skaggs. The South Lake Police Department in South Lake, Texas, has released a statement saying that at about 2:18 this afternoon, the department responded to a call of an unconscious male in a room at the Hilton Hotel. Officers arrived and found the male unresponsive. He was pronounced deceased at the scene. At this time, no foul play is suspected. The investigation is ongoing, and they will release pertinent information when it is available. The Angels beat writers are reporting that suicide is not suspected here. So as we discussed in the first hour of the program, this does have eerie similarities to Daryl Kyle's passing a couple decades ago with the St. Louis Cardinals. Prior to that big, it was a Fox game of the week, right?
Yeah, it was.
In Chicago at Wrigley Field between the Cubs and the Cardinals. And Daryl Kyle passed away, leading to the cancellation of that game. So Tyler Skaggs, who pitched here in Cedar Rapids in 2010 and was a really important member of that team, not only on the field but off it as well, represented the Colonels here in the community, hospital visits, anything that the team needed as far as player appearances go, a really good guy, a talented baseball player, but a much better human being. 27 years old. We will await more details on his passing. That game tonight between the Angels and Rangers in Arlington has been postponed. 319-366-1600 is the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. Coming up in the third and final hour of the program tonight, it is All-Star snub season. We got a bone to pick over Luke Voit, but he's not the only one who got snubbed. We'll take your phone calls and texts when the 6 o'clock hour kicks off next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Developing story, the Angels announced that starting pitcher Tyler Skaggs has died at the age of 27. He was found unresponsive in his hotel room today by police. No foul play suspected at this time. An investigation is ongoing. Tonight's Angels-Rangers game has been postponed. Skaggs last pitched on Saturday. NBA, ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski and Zach Lowe reporting the Jimmy Butler to Miami deal is complete. Clippers added as a fourth team in the trade that also includes Philadelphia and Portland. One big free agency domino left to fall, Kawhi Leonard. He's set to meet this week with the Raptors, Clippers, and Lakers. Lakers' pursuit of Leonard, one of the largest risk rewards in recent memory, believes ESPN's Brian Windhorst.
They get Kawhi. We're talking about the type of team that could go to multiple finals in a row, and they would have so much wiggle room and so much grace period with the guys they put around him.
Brian Windhorst on The Will Cain Show. Winger Artemi Panarin, one of the top NHL free agents available. He signed with the Rangers 7 years, more than $81 million. Goaltender Robin Lehner, who signed a one-year deal with Chicago to replace Lehner. The Isles signed netminder Semyon Varlamov to a four-year contract. The Isles also signed Captain Anders Lee, 7 years, $49 million. Quite a day at Wimbledon today. First round action, 15-year-old Coco Gauff beat Venus Williams in straight sets 6-4, 6-4. Gauff, the youngest player ever in the main Wimbledon women's draw.
It's a Major League Baseball 4th of July doubleheader. First, the Pirates face the Cubs. Then the Braves face the Phillies. Coverage begins at 3:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN.
Twins and the White Sox wrapping up this three-game weekend series on a warm and muggy and eventually a stormy day in the Windy City. Lucas Giolito, an all-star for the White Sox, going in Game 3, and the Twins starting Ozzy in his big league debut, left-hander Lewis Thorpe in the series finale. The Twins fell behind in the third on a two-run homer off Yoan Moncada, but that was about the only damage that Thorpe had done against him throughout the day as he pitched well. Five innings, those two runs. He struck out seven. Twins were down 2-0, and then Mother Nature intervened for a while. A rain delay occurred after five innings, and we had a delay of nearly 3 hours, but this game did resume, and the Twins did not score in the sixth. The White Sox did score in their half of the sixth inning, got two runs off Tyler Duffy to make it a 4-0 game. The Twins answered back with three in the seventh, a Nelson Cruz home run, and a Miguel Sano RBI single to make it 4-3. Same score, ninth inning, Twins had a chance. Mitch Garver did reach to begin the inning on a fielding error by the White Sox shortstop, Leury Garcia. He then took second on a wild pitch, so he was at second base, nobody out, but Marwin Gonzalez lined out, C.J. Krohn flied out, so it was up to Miguel Sano with the game on the line in the ninth inning. Olame, a long look, and now has a sign from McCann. He sets up down and away, and the 1-2 pitch pulled to third on the ground. Glove by Moncada, sets and throws him out, and the White Sox win 4-3. Abigail had a really nice weekend, but could not come through there in the end, and the Twins fall a run shy. White Sox hang out and win it by a score of 4-3. Twins end the month of June, another winning month. They go 15-12 in June, now 53-30 overall. The Indians won their game on Sunday, so the Twins' lead over the Tribe is at 8 games entering the week atop the American League Central. Some All-Star news to report. We knew that Jorge Polanco was going as a starter, but he will not go alone. Twin starting pitcher Jake Odorizzi is heading to his first All-Star game. Certainly a nice honor for Jake. He will pitch Game 1 in Oakland for the Twins on Tuesday night. But the final from Sunday in Chicago, White Sox win it 4-3. From Chicago, Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
It's a Major League Baseball 4th of July doubleheader. First, the Pirates face the Cubs, then the Braves face the Phillies.
Thursday afternoon, starting at 2:30 here on the gym, KGYL.
I like the added firework sound effects there. Thursday is the 4th of July, and that means no local programming on Thursday. So sit back and enjoy a big heaping helping of America's pastime, just like the British did over the weekend between the hosting the Yankees and the Red Sox.
They saw plenty of runs.
They did. And there are people that are not necessarily all that happy about how that series played out. We get to enjoy it next year because it will be the Cubs and the Cardinals.
It's true.
Shifting a two-game series. I believe those games were supposed to be played at Busch Stadium next year.
True. Well, for any of those worried, the Cardinals, I don't know how much a 385-foot fence in center field will help the Cardinals anyway in their offense.
I don't know why we try to force our sports down the throats of the British people. You would think that after kicking their butts in a war over 200 years ago that we would let bygones be bygones, but this seems to be rubbing it in. It's bad enough that we send them the Jacksonville Jaguars occasionally for those early morning NFL football games that throw everybody's fantasy football rosters off. But now I got bit by this over the weekend as well. Not that I didn't have bigger things to worry about personally, but I woke up and realized, didn't get those Yankees and Red Sox into the lineup before I went to bed, and those games were already underway. Baseball has some issues, and marketing itself on the international stage more so than here at home is an interesting approach, and I'll leave it at that. 319-366-1600. It's the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on 1600 AM Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio. Also heard on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. Online at kgymradio.com. You can go there now to vote in our poll question, who should start the All-Star game for the American League? We'll give you five options, including Lucas Giolito of the Chicago White Sox, who I think would be in line to throw on regular rest, provided there are not any rain issues between now and then. Poll question is brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. Let's go to just outside South English and bring Jim on board. He wants to talk about that series over the weekend between the Red Sox and Yankees in London. Jim, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Todd, how are you guys doing today?
We're good. We're hanging in there. What's up?
Yankees fan since, put it this way, in 77 I got confirmed and I tried to pick St. Reginald as my saint, and they said it wasn't a major saint, so because he had three home runs. But that was a joke over there in London. The field was, it was not even a baseball field, obviously, but the foul ground, I don't know why the NFL and the MLB and NBA have to send our games overseas. It's a money grab, but it was a debacle, and I thought it was awful baseball, even though the Yankees won both games. So that's all I had to say.
Jim, I think appreciate the phone call. There are a lot of people out there who feel the same way. There's merchandise to be sold. I completely understand it, and I do think it's a credit to the professionalism of the Red Sox and Yankees players. And I know this will not sit well with some people because you're going to sit there. The natural reaction for a lot of people is to say they're millionaires. Of course they're going to be professional. Who cares? But even though they are handsomely compensated to play a child's game, it still is a job to them. And there are certain things that your job probably asks of you or our job asks of us where we roll our eyes and we go, I don't want to do this. But these guys represented the game of baseball, I thought, quite well overseas, including our pal Luke Voigt, friend of the show.
Man, he had a day before he got injured.
And then
although
he's
fine.
And then got snubbed. It's not a great weekend for Luke Voigt, who I really hope will be invited to participate in the American League All-Star Game Home Run Derby. But we'll wait and see on that. Carlos Santana of the hometown Cleveland Indians will start at first place in his absence. Yeah, I'm not a huge fan. I've been on record as saying this, especially at the beginning of the season. I think it's really, really bad to open the season and say Tokyo or Australia. And if I remember correctly, a couple years ago, the Diamondbacks opened the season in Australia, and Tyler Skaggs was supposed to be the starting pitcher. I think he got injured, if I recall correctly, several years ago. And then bring those guys back and go back to spring training for a couple weeks. That's ludicrous. But it's also pretty out there, in my opinion, to take two teams in the middle of a season with all of the travel that they've already done and send them over there for two games.
Yeah, it's really stupid. It's really bad.
As a baseball fan, I'm supposed to be for this because it spreads the game worldwide.
You know how you can spread the game worldwide? By, I don't know.
Cable television.
Getting the good players.
Satellite dishes.
Getting good players into the All-Star game. I didn't mean to lead us to our next conversation.
Yeah, no, I think you definitely did. It's time to drink some water. I'm the horse. This is the time of year where baseball fans love to complain about who got left off the All-Star rosters. I looked at both rosters, and I'm thinking, that's a pretty good representation of great players in the game this season. I, for one, really liked the revamped All-Star voting this year, where instead of turning things over to a popularity contest from the get-go and declaring whoever got the most votes the starter, you took the top three. So you open the door for a reconfiguration of the voting where fans of other teams or other players could then throw their support behind, say, a player who finished second or third. I still think it's impossible to do something like this without hurting some feelings. But there are probably some notable snubs at this point. The caveat here, and this is why I never get too worked up about this, is we've still got a long way to go between now and the game. And players are injured, players decline to participate, and then who winds up taking their spots? Roughly 80% of the players that we spend time complaining got snubbed in the first place.
That's true. And also the caveat of every player, every team gets a player, which makes
needs
this
to go
pretty
away.
Horrible. Which I agree.
And we do this every single year, and I don't know why Lance Carter is the guy that I go back to year in and year out. But one year, the Devil Rays had a closer by the name of Lance Carter, who was the representative for the Devil Rays in the All-Star game, because everybody needs... This year, my guy is John Means of the Baltimore Orioles, who's having a really good season, okay? And you can never have too many pitchers in the All-Star game. I get it. But John Means being in Cleveland for the All-Star game versus, say, a more deserving position player, I'm going to go with the position player time and time again.
You don't have to hold back on the Cardinals. Paul DeJong getting into the All-Star game ahead of the two more deserving players on the infield that against the team that they just played in the San Diego Padres, Fernando Tatis Jr. and Manny Machado. That is very difficult to swallow if you are a Major League Baseball fan in the city of Cleveland shelling out $250 just to get your butt in a seat. And in the seventh inning, they're going to be trotting out I like Paul DeJong. Very nice guy. A 260 hitter with 13 home runs this season, as opposed to a budding superstar who looks like one of the best talents in the game right now, and a guy who just got paid $300 million who's also having a very good year. How do you sell that to paying customers?
Just the same way that you sell baseball in London to the paying customers.
Exactly.
Shut up and take it. We're Major League Baseball. Perhaps the most vocal fan base, at least seemingly to me, over snubs this time around, is the fan base that enjoys Twins games on 107.5 FM all summer long. The Twins have been a great story throughout the first half of the season. They have played tremendous baseball. They're a very, very good squad. They got two players on the American League All-Star squad. Jorge Polanco, the former Cedar Rapids Colonels shortstop, who was voted in as a starter by the fans, and Jake Odorizzi, who was voted in by the players. The Indians, who are hosting the All-Star game and are not having a historically great season, have three players in the game, including Carlos Santana starting at first base over Luke Voit, which I think you could make an argument that Luke Voit could deserve to be there. And then you have Francisco Lindor and Brad Hand, who were selected by the players. Lindor is a star. He's one of these players that I think baseball needs to get out there and needs to make more marketable. But on the whole, you've got a couple guys on the Minnesota Twins. Mitch Garver, who was on this program. We actually have two friends of the show on the AL all-snub team. Mitch Garver.
It's a sad day.
Mitch Garver, catcher for the Minnesota Twins, who was with us a couple months ago, about a month ago, month and a half ago. I have no concept of time right now. I want everybody to understand that, given everything that's gone on over the last couple weeks. Mitch Garver, former Cedar Rapids Colonel catcher. Luke Voit could probably make a case to play at first base in the AL portion of the All-Star game. Tim Anderson is an interesting case with the White Sox because I believe he's currently injured.
He is.
But Tim Anderson has been in the headlines a lot this year. He's the type of player that baseball really needs to promote, in my opinion, because baseball has struggled mightily over the last couple decades to appeal to young African-American players. And Tim Anderson is doing, before he got hurt, was doing great things on the diamond to, I think, bring people into the game.
He absolutely was. There's no question about that.
And this isn't a subject. This isn't a thing about race. This is how do you make baseball better moving forward? And I think getting tremendous athletes to play the game is one of those things that's going to make sure that we're still talking about baseball in 10, 20 years on programs like this one. Tim Anderson, in my book, is an all-star.
But he's hurt. I 100% agree with you. And to prove the point that you just made, My younger brother's on the radio in Memphis, and that is a town that I have been shocked how little they know about baseball. There are people on the ESPN affiliate, Todd, in Memphis who don't know who Mike Trout is. They don't know who Mike Trout is, yet when Tim Anderson was sort of in the headlines, I can't tell you the amount of people that I saw. You know, man, I'm going to buy a Tim Anderson jersey. I like Tim Anderson. Tim Anderson is the man. I agree with you 100%, and he absolutely has done a lot to help bring a completely different demographic, at least sort of giving them a person to be interested in Major League Baseball.
Now, 0145 is taking up the opposite end of the approach, saying that the All-Star Game is a celebration of the game itself. Every team should be represented. Remember when the Cubs were bad, and we at least got to see one player in the game. I could not have cared one iota less if Giovanni Soto got into the All-Star Game in 2008 or whatever godforsaken year. I have an autographed baseball at home from whatever All-Star Game he was in. Not one iota. Do not care to see a member of the Chicago Cubs when they are bad in the All-Star Game.
You think I want to see Paul DeJong play? I'm going to tune in to see Paul DeJong play over Fernando Tatis Jr.?
And that's just
no.
If this is a if baseball really wants to market itself, concern itself more with the All-Star Game than a two-game series in London, where baseball fans here in the United States probably aren't even paying attention to because of when those games started. The All-Star Game, especially given the way that the calendar works, the sports calendar, where you really have a void until NFL minicamps start up, training camps start up, where there's nothing going on during this tiny little window except the All-Star Game, and all eyes in the sports world tend to gravitate toward the game and the celebrity home run softball derby and all of the stuff that baseball has added to it. That's where you need to put, in my opinion, your marketable players. And I understand that this becomes difficult because, well, does everybody need to be represented? Is somebody going to watch the game and say, hey, there's no Baltimore Orioles in this game? I know Orioles fans would probably maybe not exactly be happy about that, but they also understand that their team's not very good and they don't have any star players right now. Trey Mancini maybe should have been an all-star over John Means, but you always take pitching when you can get it just because of guys that are not going to be able to pitch or guys that are going to be on a limited number of pitches because this is an exhibition game. Let's not forget that. But there are some very notable players, in my opinion, who Gleyber Torres is a freaking future star.
Right.
He's a star right now, in my opinion, and he plays on one of the most followed teams in baseball, in the Yankees. Gleyber Torres is not playing in the All-Star Game. Max Kepler probably deserves to be there from the Minnesota Twins as well, but when you look at the National League, you can find guys that make the case there as well.
I know I keep coming back to it, and I sort of discovered this over the weekend where I'll be watching. I find out how regional of a sport baseball is and how bad of a job they do at marketing their players. And I think the NHL does this too. The fact that they have a guy, the NHL has a guy in Connor McDavid that is playing in Edmonton who is all worldly, maybe one of the most talented hockey players to ever play the game. Nobody knows about him. Baseball has that same problem. I think Mike Trout in Anaheim doesn't get the press that he deserves. But where I'm sitting there and I'm watching at a bar, the Cardinals and the Padres playing, and that kid playing shortstop for San Diego is unbelievable. I mean, truly a superstar, do everything. There is not a hole in his game. He's 20 years old. And looks like maybe one of the most talented players already in the game.
You're talking about Fernando Tatis Jr.
That's who I'm talking about.
Who falls into the Yasiel Puig category. And I I call it the Yasiel Puig category, not because of what happened over the weekend between the Cubs and the Reds, but I have been doing this for several years here in Eastern Iowa, and I remember one of the most spirited debates that we've had on the program dates back to Yasiel Puig's rookie season, in which he burst onto the scene in mid to late May and really was turning the baseball world upside down. And I was arguing, hey, this guy should be in the All-Star game. He's electric. He's fun to watch.
Right.
And then you had the old guard, which there is, I do think that we have an issue as a country in regard to how we approach things in this day and age where we talk of, there's always talk of you have to earn it. And you're going to have people out there, baseball people, saying Fernando Tatis Jr. hasn't earned it yet because he's only played half a season of Major League Baseball. Well, I'm sorry. That guy is a future superstar.
Megastar.
He could possibly be. There is a reason why San Diego chose to buck the trend, so to speak, this year, and not bury him in the minor leagues for 3 weeks at the beginning of the season the way that the Blue Jays did Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and the White Sox did Eloy Jimenez, and teams have done time and time again going back to Chris Bryant and the Cubs and on and on and on. The Padres, actually, the veteran players requested a sit-down at spring training with the general manager of the team and said, this kid needs to be on the roster on opening day. And the general manager went to ownership and said, this kid's going to be on the roster on opening day. The veterans. And granted, Manny Machado was new to the club at the time, but he's a veteran. You don't give somebody that type of money and not expect them to be a leader. Manny Machado sat down with the general manager of the San Diego Padres, A.J. Preller, and said, this kid is really good, and he needs to be in the big leagues. And they did this with Chris Paddock, who's in their rotation, and I think they'll do it with Mackenzie Gore when he's ready to come up from the minor leagues in the next year. They're not worried about service time. They're worried about putting these players out there and trying to win some ball games. And there are some other players on the Padres that, not necessarily superstars, but Hunter Renfro's had a really good year, and he's not going to be at the All-Star game either. But Alex Verdugo of the Dodgers, tremendous young player. The game could probably benefit from having some of these guys involved. And instead, we still, every year, fall into this mix of complaining about letting the fans vote and complaining about every team needing to be represented. You know what? You want to solve that problem? Fine. You take a team that has a number of players and you throw a Baltimore Orioles jersey on one of them. Okay?
Dan Vogelbach gets the Orioles jersey.
Problem solved. And you'd probably upset a lot of fans, but who cares? And it's just wearing the jersey out there. Why not? And it's an exhibition game anyway. I've seen Ken Rosenthal at The Athletic has floated the idea of having a legend of the game spot and a rising star spot where each league could designate one player. His suggestion for the American League was to say Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and a CeCe Sabathia. CeCe Sabathia, right, who is at the end of the line in his career. Okay, you could probably do that. That certainly wouldn't hurt anything. And then you'd also look and say, well, what happens in a year where there's an Eloy Jimenez and a Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and a couple other players in the American League where you'd have to fight tooth and nail to figure out who deserves that one rising star spot? I don't know what to do with the All-Star game anymore at this point. As I said, I like the fact that they revamped the voting this year and they did a top three, because I'm not necessarily sure that a Jorge Polanco starts the All-Star game if they don't do that. Jorge Polanco, who had an extremely deserving year, but when you look at the cast of characters at shortstop in the American League, there are some really good players out there from teams that have much larger fan bases. So from that standpoint, I like the revamped voting. There's no perfect way to do this. And you just sit back and you complain, and then you realize a week later that most of the players that you think should have been there at the game, they wind up being there involved in the game somehow. An Eddie Rosario, a Max Kepler, a Mitch Garver. There are still games to be played, unfortunately, between now and the All-Star game where a catcher could jam his thumb or break his wrist. Need a replacement. Okay, Mitch Garver gets added to the All-Star game. Something happens to Carlos Santana. He sneezes and pulls a muscle. Baseball players do that. So do radio hosts. Luke Voit is suddenly a replacement and on the All-Star squad. So that's why I don't spend too much time worrying about who's in the All-Star game and who isn't. What I worry about is how baseball uses this game to market itself and how they could do that better. And I don't have the answers. I don't think any of us do. But watching somebody represent a team just for the sake of representing a team doesn't really do it for me. And again, Cubs included. Giovanni Soto, Carlos Marmol, the bad teams usually
get Lilly was in there 1 year with like over a 4.5 ER. It happens.
Hey, need a pitcher. We need a pitcher, and that team needs an all-star, so pick somebody. I love the Connor McDavid references that you bring to the program because he's hidden, as you said, in Edmonton.
He's the LeBron James of hockey.
He is a guy that during hockey season, if I'm scrolling through my channel lineup and I see that Edmonton is on, I'll stop on the game for 10 or 15 right. minutes because I want to see him play. I want to see what he does. Very, very reminiscent of when Mike Trout was here with the Cedar Rapids Colonels and to a lesser extent, Byron Buxton. You go to enough baseball games, you all of a sudden realize, hey, some guys are just different. They got something that sets them apart. Mike Trout does something that you don't see on any given night. And then you come back the next night and you see him do something different again. That's a Connor McDavid type. And the NHL, for various reasons, has struggled just like Major League Baseball has in marketing itself in the United States. NBA, not so much. Everything the NBA does, you get probably more than you want. And you know the names, and today you're acquainting yourself with the new places. Same goes for the NFL. The NFL grew from this mom-and-pop league back in the 1920s where you had the Decatur Staleys and the Green Bay Packers and all of these little teams all across the Midwest. And 100 years later, here it is, this monolith that has just survived everything from CTE to players protesting during the national anthem to everything you can throw at that league. And baseball, could they learn a lesson or two from the NFL? I don't know. But I think they need to do a better job. Otherwise, a decade from now, we're going to be talking about Major League Baseball like it's the NHL. And I don't want to live in that world. 6:31, we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, Kyle's going to bring you a final big board update, and we'll get you ready for a Monday night, let you know what's in store coming up on a Tuesday edition of the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn after this.
Free offer contingent on subscription. Pay shipping and handling. Cancel anytime. Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym and in the bedroom. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free when you text the word LIFT to 60-60-60. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text LIFT to 60-60-60.
Text LIFT to 60 60 60.
Whether your project's below ground, above ground, or you're just breaking ground, United Rentals has the equipment and tools you need. We sell expertly maintained used equipment from forklifts and backhoes to scissor lifts and boom lifts. Visit us online to search our inventory of more than 4,000 equipment categories and get custom information on any unit. Visit unitedrentals.com/used today.
I'm Amelia, and I'm a teenager now. But when I was 5, the final boy wizard book was released, and so was Windows Server 2008. Harry and Hermione are still awesome, but Microsoft is ending support for Server 2008 R2. So if your business is still using Windows Server 2008 R2, you're going to need more than a spell to stay up to date. Fortunately, Network Computer Solutions is like having your very own wizard. Make sure you get in touch with them soon to update your Windows software.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
The John Deere Classic is more than golf. It's a week filled with friends, food, fun, a youth clinic, and an amazing charity concert with Dustin Lynch. It's the event that's delivered over $100 million to local charities since 1971. And yes, there's great golf too. Pretty. Sweet.
Oh, I like that.
Stuff.
Yes.
Magic does happen here. Get tickets at johndeereclassic.com or call 309-762-GOLF. Hurry, they're going fast.
For every step of achievement,
Christopher Michael Jones.
For every joy-filled laugh, for every dream becoming reality.
Welcome to retirement, honey.
For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust is here. We'll come alongside you for all life's milestones. Because, after all, you're our neighbor. We're more than just a financial institution, and we take our relationship with you seriously. That's why Two Rivers Bank is working on new products and services now that will make your life easier in the future. So, whether you're planning for college, starting a family, or recent empty nesters, Two Rivers Bank will be thinking about your needs before you even know you have them. For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust.
My neighborhood,
my bank.
Find out more at tworiversbank.com. Member FDIC.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable, and serving part-time can help you graduate debt-free. Do you want to stay close to friends and family? The Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving part-time in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want. Learn more by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
No game today. The Twins enjoying an off day in the Bay Area before a three-game series with the A's begins on Tuesday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis, 8:30 pregame, 9:07 start on Tuesday night from the Coliseum right here on your home for Twins baseball.
On 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
6:36, welcome back in a Monday edition of the Todd Brummel Camp Show as we make our way towards 7 o'clock tonight. Can't get out of here without one more final Big Board update. Big Board updates presented on the Todd Brummel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn by Alexander Lumber. You can find them right now at their temporary location, 2802 Independence Road in Iowa City. You can also visit the Answers by Alexander Window Showroom on South Gilbert Street. Here's Kyle.
A former Cyclone guard got a taste of the free agency frenzy this afternoon as Matt Thomas has agreed to a three-year low-dollar deal with the Toronto Raptors. The 6'5" guard shot 44% in his final two seasons at Iowa State, and in two seasons professionally in Spain, averaged 13 points and shot 47% from three. With Thomas now stateside, six Cyclones from the 2015-2016 team are in the pros, and Nick Weiler-Babb could technically make that seven. Current Iowa State point guard Tyrese Halliburton is playing with the under-19 team in Greece for the FIBA World Cup, and he showed out yesterday in a 102-84 victory over Lithuania. He had game highs across the board, playing 35 minutes, 21 points, 4 made threes, 8 assists, only 1 turnover, 5 steals, and all that coming with an 8-for-9 performance from the field. He also had 8 assists to 1 turnover and led the team and made threes in a 40-point victory over New Zealand the day prior. The team's going to finish preliminary round play tomorrow. Former Hawkeye Megan Gustafson scored 4 points in 10 minutes for the Dallas Wings in a win yesterday, but she also inked a new deal earlier today. Gustafson and her agency announced that following the WNBA season, she'll be playing in Hungary. The Colonels took game one of a home series against Kane County with a 6-0 shutout on Saturday, led by Josh Winder, who's really starting to look like a prospect for the Twins. Coming off a Midwest League All-Star appearance, he put forth his best effort to date, yielding only 3 hits while striking out 8 and walking none over 8 innings. A loss in game two brought about a rubber match earlier this afternoon, and they spent most of it tied at 1 until Chris Williams and Gabe Snyder knocked in 3 in the bottom of the 8th. The team's taken off to Burlington for 2 games before returning home. They're then going to have a 5 o'clock start hosting Burlington on the 4th of July.
So I did a little digging via Google, and I came up with the 2010 Cedar Rapids Gazette story, which doesn't have a byline on it, but I'm pretty sure it's written by my good friend Jeff Johnson about Tyler Skaggs, who at that point in time was 19 years old, and the player to be named later in a trade involving the Angels and the Diamondbacks. This is going to be a little bit of a trip down memory lane here, because the players involved here, this is, I guess, a decade ago, so things don't age all that well. But the Angels got all-star Dan Heron from the Arizona Diamondbacks and gave up Joe Saunders, Rafael Rodriguez, Patrick Corbin, and Tyler Skaggs. Pretty good haul for the Diamondbacks when you look back on it. The old rules of Major League Baseball said that you could not trade a player until he had been in an organization for a year after signing. Well, Skaggs signed with the Angels on August 7th of 2009. So when the trade went down with the Diamondbacks, it was late July, mid to late July. His last appearance with the Colonels in 2010 came on July 23rd. He wasn't eligible to be traded legally until August 7th. So for about a week and a half, he just hung around the Colonels, his former teammates, before reporting to South Bend, at the time the Diamondbacks affiliate in the Midwest League. He was allowed to long toss, and he could run. Those were the only two things he was allowed to do. He couldn't lift weights, and he couldn't throw bullpen sessions.
Couldn't lift weights?
Couldn't lift weights. What if you lifted too much weight and tore a pectoral muscle?
What if you hurt your arm during long toss?
Well,
there must be some kind of sabermetric probability that tells them that that's less likely than lifting weights.
The fun part about the story is you get some other names in here. Dan Heron, as I mentioned, sort of a blast from the past, that Dan Heron, A, is referred to as an all-star, and B, it was the linchpin, the major piece of the deal there. Garrett Richards, who's had a pretty good major league career despite battling injuries, referenced in the story as well. And this piece was written during a series with the Quad Cities River Bandits, and it references the game the previous night. The Colonels dropped a third consecutive game as newcomer Max Russell was roughed up for 9 hits and 5 runs over 5 innings. Shelby Miller, the Cardinals' number one draft pick last year, threw 5 innings for Quad Cities to get the win. So Shelby Miller presumably is pitching still somewhere.
Is he?
After another arm injury. Again, pitching prospects. You never know. I saw Shelby Miller that year, and he was teammates with Joe Kelly, and I actually thought Joe Kelly had the better arm. And you could make an argument that Joe Kelly's probably had the better major league career, even though he's struggling a little bit as a reliever now with the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Oh, he's definitely had the better major league baseball career. I remember when Joe Kelly first came up, he was a guy for a stretch I thought, do not trade him. This is a guy who is going to develop into one of those top of the rotation starters, because he would have games where he was just lights out, and he was very inconsistent as a starter. And at the point when they made that trade, I thought it was a pretty good one. I thought it worked out pretty well for him anyway. They traded Alan Craig and Joe Kelly, and they got a couple of good years from John Lackey. But Shelby Miller didn't. Maybe he just ran out of bullets in the chamber. That's what happens with some of these guys, and the injuries take a toll He didn't pan out the way that a lot of people thought he would. Joe Kelly as a starter didn't pan out the way that they thought he would. And I sort of compared Joe Kelly's time as a starter to what Luke Weaver looked like as a starter for the Cardinals at times. Good, but then one good start, two or three bad starts in a row.
Wimbledon is underway. And
I heard there was an upset.
There was a major upset today. 39-year-old Venus Williams lost to a 15-year-old player by the name of Coco Gauff. I'm probably mispronouncing that. It's spelled G-A-U-F-F. Venus Williams had already won four of her seven Grand Slam titles before her opponent today was born. And she grew up idolizing the Williams sisters. She ousts Venus Williams in the first round at Wimbledon.
And that's she lost to a 15-year-old.
And that's your... Well, she's 39. I mean, that's... You can't... Father time remains undefeated. I know that's a phrase that has been used time and time again, but you cannot outrun father time. A 15-year-old probably going to have more energy than a 39-year-old. At some point in time, you can change the oil on time. You can get new tires. You can get the car detailed. Sooner or later, the car is just not going to run anymore.
But 15 years old. Is the car even put together at this point?
She's the youngest competitor to qualify at the All England Club in the professional era. And she won today in straight sets, 6-4, 6-4. She wound up in tears. Not Venus Williams, but...
I would imagine.
This girl beats the player that she grew up idolizing.
At age 15, how do you
at
go...
At age 15,
how do you,
at Wimbledon.
How do you go up from here if you're her? Right? Like, how do you improve and continue to go on an upward trajectory when you beat your idol at age 15 at Wimbledon?
Win your second round match and your third round match, and don't become a footnote in history, I guess, would be my answer to that. This was her third tour-level match. Williams has played over 1,000. See, I love stories like this in sports. Because maybe this, and I'll call her a little girl, she's 15, maybe this little girl goes on to be, as I said, a footnote in history, or maybe today we witnessed the arrival of another great player on the scene. I have no idea. I don't follow women's tennis all that much, but I know when a 15-year-old beats one of the Williams sisters, it's a pretty big story. When does the U.S. women's national team play again?
They play tomorrow.
England, correct?
Yeah, tomorrow.
What time?
See, that question is above my pay grade,
okay.
But I can figure that out here in just a
second.
And
the men are playing too, right? Did I see this, that the U.S. men's national team is underway?
That I don't know, but the game tomorrow is at 2 p.m. Central Time.
What's with all these games start at 2 o'clock? Okay. And England, presumably the United States, is going to be a heavy favorite against the English.
I'll be interested to see what the U.S. looks like, because France took it to them a little bit in that second half of the game. So I'm not going to say that they're a favorite, but I think it's going to be a pretty close game.
Over under on Megan Rapinoe goals scored.
It's got to be like 1.5, right?
Over under on heads that Megan Rapinoe causes to explode.
Many.
Definitely
many.
Over 1.5. Jerry Brewer, who was with us in the 5 o'clock hour, the Washington Post sports columnist, has a really good piece on Megan Rapinoe and how she embodies everything that is American and everything that is America at this point. Whether you like that or not, she is the living, breathing embodiment of this country. And I will be looking at least over my shoulder at the TV tomorrow, beginning at 2 o'clock as the United States takes on Great Britain. England? They go by England?
They go by
England. Have they Brexited yet? I don't know what's going on. I'm so out of touch. on international politics that I have no idea whether England and Great Britain are still a thing or not. It's kind of like those old globes that I grew up with going to school in DeWitt that still had the Soviet Union on them. 319-366-1600. I hope they've updated the textbooks between now and 1998. We need to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll let you know what's in store for a Tuesday edition of the program, including what tomorrow's stop on the Big Ten countdown to kickoff is. Back with more after this.
Come here. Get the ball. Good boy.
Give your pets the run of the house. Randy's Flooring has the largest selection of pet-friendly flooring in eastern Iowa. Come see all of it. Randy's Flooring in Coralville and Cedar Rapids. Local flooring experts by design.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat, working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. I've got great news. Mortgage interest rates have dropped. So if you're thinking about buying a home, right now is the time to lock that low rate, even before you find the home of your dreams. With our exclusive Rate Shield approval, the low rate you lock today is protected for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. With a Rate Shield approval, if rates go up, your low rate stays locked. But if rates go down, you get that new, even lower rate. Either way, you win. Talk to us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to take advantage. Here's another great reason to work with us. For a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Again, to lock in today's low mortgage interest rate and get the security of our exclusive Rate Shield approval, call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number
3030. O'Reilly. Get ready for the holiday weekend. If your check engine light is on, now's the time to find out why. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today and let us scan your vehicle for free. We'll retrieve the codes, discuss solutions, and even help you find a professional technician if needed. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can always count on Miller High Life, the champagne of beers. Always crisp, always easy drinking, always just right. The perfect balance of flavor and refreshment since 1903. Welcome to the High Life. '19 Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Celebrate responsibly.
Golic and Wingo on the road.
Live at the House of Blues, Cleveland for the 2019 MLB All-Star Game.
Brought to you by Progressive Insurance and Sherwin-Williams.
Monday, July 8th
on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
6:51, welcome back in. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a Monday. A final thank you to the good folks at Randy's Flooring, our presenting sponsor on Monday. Again, a big thank you. You can check them out in Cedar Rapids or in Coralville on the Coralville Strip. Randy's is proud to partner with the UI Stead Family Children's Hospital. Certain purchases at Randy's go to support the UI Stead Family Children's Hospital. You can learn more by visiting their website, randysflooring.com. Coming up on a Tuesday edition of the show, we take the countdown to kickoff and Big Ten Media Days down Interstate 74 to Champaign, Illinois. Shambana, as they called it back in the day. Jeremy Warner of the ESPN affiliate in Champaign, friend of the program, and a guy that we see every year at Big Ten Media Days set up on Radio Row, is going to be with us. We'll preview Lovie Smith and the Fighting Illini. No Luke Ford questions. Not eligible, according to the NCAA, as much as they would have liked to have had him in the fold this year, but Illinois still waiting for that breakthrough moment. It's probably not going to come in 2019. Spoiler alert. I feel like I just wasted tomorrow's countdown stop. Illinois is not going to be very good next year, but we will still give them
great preview.
We will still give them the tremendous preview and afford them and their fans the opportunity to learn as much about them, just as we did with Sam McEwen of the Omaha World Herald earlier today. Nebraska, the team that we spotlighted on the countdown to kickoff today. If you missed our segment with Sam from the Omaha World Herald, or Jerry Brewer, the sports columnist for the Washington Post, both of those segments were in the 5 o'clock hour. Our podcast will be available shortly for you at KGYMradio.com. Don't forget, you can still vote in our poll question: who should start the All-Star game for the American League? Hyunjin Ryu will start for the National League, but Alex Cora has yet to make a determination for the AL. Poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Local programming returns tomorrow with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes. It's the Gym Class, brought to you by Third Base Brewery. No programming, no local programming, that is, on Thursday for the 4th of July. Keep that in mind. We'll talk to you tomorrow. And if you missed anything from today's show, again, the website to download the podcast or listen to at your leisure is kgymradio.com.